of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Christmas, as Isha gave to me a blood clot included for free.
On the second dose of Christmas, my Pfizer gave to me two heart conditions and a blood clot included for free.
On the third dose of Christmas, Moderna gave to me myocarditis,
two heart conditions and a blood clot included for free.
On the fourth dose of Christmas, the Janssen gave to me pericarditis, myocarditis, two heart conditions, and a blood clot included for free.
On the fifth dose of Christmas, bacteria gave to me E-O-R-A, perimyocarditis, arthritis, heart conditions, two, and a blood clot included for free. On the sixth dose of Christmas, commonality gave to me rash, aches, and swelling, Guillain-Barré, perimyocarditis, arthritis, heart conditions too, and a blood clot included for free. On the seventh dose of Christmas, a spike patch gave to me bells, palsy, sweating, rash, pain, and swelling, Guillain-Barré, perimyocarditis, arthritis, heart conditions too, and a blood clot included for free. On the eighth dose of Christmas, a vector gave to me chest pain and tingling, bells, palsy, sweating, rash, aches, and swelling, Guillain-Barré, perimyocarditis, arthritis, heart conditions too, and a blood clot included for free. On the ninth dose of Christmas, mRNA for me, headaches, labored breathing, chest pain and tingling, bells, palsy, sweating, rash, aches and swelling, Guillain-Barré, perimyocarditis, arthritis, heart conditions too, and a blood clot included for free. On the tenth dose of Christmas, cochlear gave to me capillary leaking, headaches, labored breathing, chest pain and tingling, bells, palsy, sweating, rash, aches and swelling, Guillain-Barré, perimyocarditis, arthritis, heart conditions too, and a blood clot included for free. On the 11th dose of Christmas, my two shots gave to me chilblain-like lesions, capillary leaking, headaches, labored breathing, chest pain and tingling, bells, palsy, sweating, rash, aches and swelling, Guillain-Barré, perimyocarditis, arthritis, heart conditions too, and a blood clot included for free. On the 12th dose of Christmas, for boosters added free, thrombocytopenia, chilblain-like lesions, capillary leaking, headaches, labored breathing, chest pain and tingling, bells, palsy, sweating, rash, aches and swelling, Guillain-Barré, perimyocarditis, heart conditions, knocking at death's door, and a blood clot, but at least it came free.
That's right. Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome. Thank you. Good yule. Good to see you all. Am I centered there? Look at that. I gotta be centered here. Haven't even. I got the hat on at least, so you know that's something. Hi, Lana. How are you?
Hey, I was listening to that, I was like, oh my god, I think my heart's hurting listening to that. Getting sick. Well, just imagining what people are feeling. That's why I was saying this is a very dystopian Christmas. You know, I feel like we're in this nice little snow globe here in northern Idaho, and it's pretty and it's quaint and it's happy people, but on the outside of that, it's pretty dark.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's peak clown world going into demon world. But what are you going to do? You got to laugh at it at least make fun of it on the way down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, boys and girls, we have some guests joining us later on here. Matt Flavelle is first out the gates from AFA, is current head of the AFA, and then Stephen McNallan, who's the former head of the AFA.
Another classic.
And then we have Jared Taylor.
Another classic.
As well, joining us here. Probably at the bottom of the hour, I think Matt will drop by, so we have a couple of things we'll talk about, and we have a couple of clips we'll show. We'll
Not
just
a zillion guests this year, too, because no, usually it's like, oh know. My God, 20 people, and just
that can be kind of intense,
stuff.
Like having, like 5 minutes each or
it
something?
It just didn't work out that way this year, and I think it's probably for the best.
Yeah, that's right. That is correct. All right, so yeah, welcome all our vaccine-free pure bloods out there. I hope you're having a wonderful Christmas here. Good Yule, that's right. School, cheers. There we go. Some coffee. What are you drinking, tea?
I'm drinking tea, yeah. I know, it's not as exciting.
Oh, well, it's okay.
But you get used to it. You know, herbal teas.
We'll hit the whiskey hard later, right? That's how we do it.
Well, you know, I have hardly had alcohol in the last 10 years, but we had a solstice bonfire the other night.
Should I?
And our friend brought some really great mead that he made, and I had a little too much.
Yep. I was like hungover.
I was like, this is horrible, this
forever.
Feeling. I forgot what that felt like, you know?
It wasn't that bad for me, but yeah. Okay. I'm
a lightweight, you know, three of those, and I'm like, woo. Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, so we did, I did do a sun wheel this year, solar wheel, right?
It was awesome, by the way, yes.
We did.
Well, you and I, we do that. We've been doing that for many years.
A few years now.
But,
yeah, exactly. So we did burn that. Thank you to everyone coming out, by the way. It was a good time. We got some good photos as well. I got to shoot some video next year, but, you know, what are you going to do? We got some photos at least.
Sure, the neighbors are like, whoa, what's that? That's cool.
That's a sun wheel, right? And you guys, I'm not going to go through any of the why you do it here, right? You guys know why you burn the sun wheel, right? I hope you do. Otherwise, look at your latest video. It's not your latest video. I'm sorry. But
it's not as done, obviously, in America. In Europe, it's burning the sun wheel during the solstice is probably a little more popular. But
right. It's
making a comeback, right?
From, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Older times into now.
Yep. Yeah, so I'll make a bigger one next year, like even bigger, and then we'll do a good video.
I was surprised you put it
well.
Really close to that tree, though.
Well, the thing is, the reason for that was there was like a little barrier of snow. It's like, oh, this is perfect. I can stick it right in there, and I didn't even look behind me, so the tree almost caught on fire. But
it was perfect. It was a good amount of people, and we had food and good conversation around the fire, and had again some good mead, and the kids were running around, so it was a good time.
Good time. Yeah, as we close out the year, as it were. Listen to this. Speaking of all the issues that the wonderful choir brought to us here. Look at that. And I saw, for some reason, Justin Trudeau again. It's funny how Twitter, they always have to cover and fact check for people, right? Or, you know, on behalf of global elitist leaders and stuff, right? So the other day it was something about the Great Reset, how it's like, well, there's this letter from the Dutch that was sent to the Dutch government, and it's all misinterpreted. Did you actually see that?
No.
The FVD, the Forum for Democracy, which is the Terrier.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's coming back to me now.
Yeah. They got a secret letter from the World Economic Forum where they just said, like, thank you for the Great Reset. You've been a great contributor to that. And they said, let me read this line. Your contribution to the work of the Great Reset will be exceptionally crucial at the upcoming annual meeting, which they canceled, by the way, because of Omicron, which is just hype and garbage. It's like not even dangerous, right? But it's to make you, even them are canned. This got to be serious, right? Your participation in the deliberation in Davos will also ensure that the Netherlands plays a major role in shaping the future of the international trade system. So it's just an open conspiracy there that they're the World Economic Forum, which is like an unelected bunch of bureaucratic elitist globalists, are okay. They're going to shape our future international trade system for some reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that came out. That was kind of interesting. But so immediately Twitter were like covering for them and said, oh, this is, it's been misinterpreted. You know, and it reminds me of, it might have been this clip or another one, but they did the same for Justin Trudeau. Check this clip out here.
You're going to be able to get your vaccine as soon as you turn 5. And I know you're excited and I know you're eager. In some places across the country, you can even start
they can't
making
wait.
Your appointment now for shortly after your birthday.
Are
you
gosh.
Excited to get your shot? 5-year-olds, hey?
Forget that dump truck. They want that Pfizer shot.
God. God. And listen to this. Listen to this slip up. I don't think you saw this yet. I played it Wednesday, but listen to this here.
So if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death, rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children, which is to not
right. What? Whoops.
So if it's going to be than as we see,
he meant to say cure, but
let's say
it's not a cure.
Using to give boosters to kill children, which is not right.
Isn't it funny how there has been so many of these?
Yep.
It's like the gods want it to come out.
They wanted to get out.
It has to come out. Yes.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy? That is crazy. Let me do a couple of these on Entropy. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for joining us over there. EntropyStream.live/RedEyesTV. Niflheim 2066 says, good evening, Pure Bloods. And Good Jul from Gothenburg, Sweden. Well,
nice.
Glad to have some Jötter tuning in. Very nice. Good Jul.
Are you eating some herring? I know you are.
We
were looking for some.
I miss
for him,
the proper pickled herring. I just, you know, it's not really
it's
Christmas.
It's not as popular in Idaho.
It's not you without it. You know, that's how it goes. Niflheim says, stay strong, never surrender. That's right. Hold the line. Thank you. Good deal to you as well. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Noseberg. Good to see you as well. Merry Christmas to Red Eyes and chat to you as well, Mr. Noseberg. Thank you for the excellent modding this year. We had a little, I guess Odyssey has had a mishap here the other day where his main account was banned, and it was some like weird thing on the back end. They had some administrative thing or something, but I think we got that sorted out. We gave him a new admin account over an Odyssey.
Yeah, I can't lose Mr. Noseberg. Come on.
He's a staple now. Thank you, Mr. Noseberg. Good you too as well. Armored Saints. Lykkelig Jul, that's Norwegian there. Thank you. Good to see you as well. Thank you so much for the dono. Jimmy Fallis says, hello, everyone. Merry Christmas. Great to see you, Henrik and Lana. Herbal tea is awesome. Oh, man,
I could go
for some peppermint tea
about now. I like that, too.
Hope you're doing well. Jimmy Fallis, good to see you as well. Thank you. Flying Dutchman, congratulations on your 6th anniversary Yule stream, and I wish you many more to come. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Flying Dutchman. Good to see you. Der Sharusker says, happy Yule. Homemade meat is great and traditional. It sure is.
Yeah. It's a different feeling when you drink it. I don't know. I like it. And especially when a friend makes it and it's local.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And Jimmy Fallis again says here, I picked up proper pickled herring at a German store here in Madrid.
Nice.
Or Madrid. Can't wait to dig in. There you go. Nice. Yeah, I do miss it. Maybe I got to look out, see if there's any good brands over on this side here. Maybe Canada. Maybe there's like New England states or something would have it. It's more the North Atlantic, kind of up that region where you get.
Hey, speaking of Norway, I gotta say, yesterday we have some friends that are visiting from Kalispell. Hello, we saw them. I saw them yesterday, and they have a Norwegian elk hound, and it's really cool dog.
I forgot to look at
that. I'm usually not a big dog person. I like huskies and shepherds, more wolfy dogs. But this Norwegian elk hound was pretty cool, and I guess it's a native dog, should I say, in Norway. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, here's a one picture. Yeah, it's like a German Shepherd mixed with a Husky or something.
It had such a nice temperament, and apparently they're really good hunters and just a really cool vibe. I was like, nah, I might want a dog like that.
Let me see. What is the other one? Let me see how similar it is to...
just something special about it.
Let me see. I'm typing this in real time. See, it is actually Vestjota Spets. Look at that.
The Norwegian, it's a part of it, but with the longer
Norwegian
legs. Because I don't like
hound.
The short legs on the Swedish version.
No, it's like a midget version. But the reason apparently for that is that it can like get in and out of like barrows and stuff, right, for animals, you know, to like low like that. But it
so
kind of looks
weird.
Like they're, it's somewhat related. I'm just thinking of the Norwegian Gothic connection again, the Vestrogothic Norwegian connection. Could be something there. But anyway,
yeah, I like the long legs better.
It's actually kind of an interesting study, like dog breeds, because it has followed certain groups of humans. You can actually see certain, like, you know, if a group moved to a different area or something, usually they took these kinds of things with them.
So
and
is
then
the
they
elk hound like a, maybe it's a Viking dog or something.
I'm not sure how old the breed is, but I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, it's probably not that old. But
hey, to get in the proper Christmas spirit, we have another clip here to play. Check out this one.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings. And
Yep, there you go. Gotta have a good fight, you know?
Beating the crap out of each other.
It looks like it was a little bit of diversity going on there, too, by the way. It was like probably New York or something like that. Well, here's another mistake you shouldn't do if you're, let's say you have a play or something like that with your kids or some kind of, well, in Sweden we have like a Lucia tog or something, right? The kids are there, everyone's singing songs and stuff. But I forget where this was out of, but here's a tip, a pro tip on what not to do with your fireworks during the Christmas celebration.
Holy crap. Really? Did they really think that was a good idea?
I think her hair was on fire at a certain point.
Where was that? Do you know?
I do believe, if I remember the tag of the video correctly, I think it was might have been Latvia or Estonia, but I could be wrong. I might misremember that, but you know, those crazy Baltic Nord Slavs there. Yeah. well, something that's not as funny. I wanted to just give a heads up on this real quick here too. We talked about the French power plant. Let me see, what was it, this one? Yeah, the four nuclear power plants in France are being, let me see, what was the, by the end of the most continent will be endured below average temperatures. Let me see here. France announced the closure of four of its largest nuclear reactors. European power crisis surged to record highs over the past couple of days. And I forget exactly what it was, a safety injection system circuit in two reactors. That caused them to shut down four of them. And then at the same time as that's happening, in other European countries, it's even worse. We talk about the dark winter and stuff like that, right? This should do it right here. Europe's power crunch shuts down factories as price hits records, right? French nuclear outages sends European power prices to record. Energy cost spurs Europe's top aluminum smelter to curb output. And now they're talking about, you know, certain factories are shutting down and stuff like that. We know that this is what they want because, like, they have been decommissioning perfectly operational nuclear power plants for a long time. Now, as they go green and going over to carbon-free and all this stuff, basically nothing is replacing this. So what happened is that now the U.S. has to send a flotilla of, what was it called again? Liquefied natural gas. About a flotilla of about, I think it was 30 ships or something like crazy like that, that need to like pick up the energy, deficiency that Europe is experiencing, which is
crazy. Why don't
they
just ask Russia for it?
Well, see, this is the other thing on top of this, right, where it's actually crazy. And I even think they had a video on this here. This is like Bloomberg's like side project, BNN. I'm not sure what that is, but it's under the Bloomberg domain name. And they had a headline here. There's a political agenda with Russia's involvement in Europe's natural gas prices right now. They have a bad deal, like a cold war with Russia going on now, specifically over Ukraine and Ukraine being the proxy and all that stuff, which is just suicide. Like, you don't want to be falling out of disfavor right now or out of favor with Russia because, like, you're basically depending on them for your energy. And now you're gonna poke them while you're, like, antagonizing over Ukraine and stuff. It's crazy. They could literally just, like, all right, that's it. We're cutting off your gas. You would have people in Europe freezing to death. It's already happening. I think it was it Latvia? Who was it that said that again? Latvia was closing. No, Kosovo, which is, you know, a debated, is it, you know, its own nation yet or not, whatever, but it doesn't matter. There are 2 million citizens, residents there, are basically going on an energy rationing system right now. So, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. We'll see what happens with that. We'll see where that goes.
They're going to have to burn fires like our ancestors to stay warm, huh?
Yeah, well, and then that's also bad, right?
Yeah, that's going to go out
carbon,
the window, too.
That's carbon.
Can't chop down those trees.
No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, this was just hilarious. I mean, huff poop, whatever. Let me pull this up. The idea that you need to out-exercise food or earn or burn any treats is comedy here during the holiday season. That's why here's why this mentality needs to stop. And how you could feel good about your overweight body instead. It's just ridiculous. Like the idea of people fast because they know, okay, we're going to eat a lot of food for Christmas, or watch the sweets. You know, yeah, you do have to exercise and earn it in a way, right? Like you're not supposed to just junk out all the time frivolously. And it's just, it's ridiculous. Again, it's this body positive crap. Just be fat, eat whatever you want. Don't worry about it. It's Christmas. But here's the problem. They don't do it just for Christmas, do they? It's just another excuse.
Well,
it's Christmas. Right.
It's always this thing that you have to police everybody when it comes to language and behavior now, what you can or can't do, or anyway, someone will always be offended and stuff like that, right? But then
no,
I'm sure
this mentality needs to stop right now. It's like they're so serious about it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know.
Like, who cares? They say you should earn and burn your calories. Like, they're offended by that, too. Yeah, they're offended by everything. It's ridiculous. And then this gingerbread.
They don't want you to be healthy. They want you to be sick and overweight and docile. And that way, you know, you'll be under their thumb, essentially. That's what
you see
about.
How the gingerbread man, he has a muffin
top.
Oh, a
muffin. Yeah,
gingerbread exactly. Man with a muffin top.
Yep, it's crazy times.
Not a good look. Sorry, I'm not going to be making those cookies with my kids.
Billy Biz. Henrik and Lana, happy Yule and very Merry Christmas. Thank you, Billy Biz. Appreciate that. Thank you for the dono. Do appreciate it. Always good to see you, sir. Thank you, Virginia Drifter. Good to see you as well. Good Yule, Henrik and Lana. Love the shot of the burning sun. In honor to your pagan ancestors, I want to learn more about the pre-Christian spirituality of the Anglo-Saxons, which is my lineage. And it overlaps, of course, a lot on that. We'll play, probably at the end, we'll play Rousel's.
Oh, absolutely.
Tom Rousel's.
And I have to say, too, like at our gathering.
We wanted to get him on, but he couldn't, by the way.
Yeah,
he couldn't.
Hi, Tom.
To Tom,
by the way, he has family
watching.
And stuff. It's just cutting it too close. But I have to say, too, our gathering was cool because it was a good blend. It wasn't just all pagans. It wasn't just all pagans. We had some, you know, Orthodox, some Catholics, some Christians of different variety, and they enjoyed it as well. So they understand that there is a pre-Christian tradition, something that our ancestors embraced and did for a long time is celebrating the solstice.
I think a lot of it is over the wording. No one is trying to steal Christmas away from Christians, right? Christmas is a thing that was an overlap later on, right? We're not saying, well, Christmas is pagan. That's not, no, it would be like me saying, I'm inventing this new holiday and it's called, Frog Fest or whatever, you know? And the frogs, they go into this hibernation cycle on the 24th of December, and then on 25th we celebrate the frogs and stuff. And then like a Christian shows up and says, were you trying to steal... are you trying to steal this tradition from us, kind of thing? And it's like, no, this has a new name. It has nothing to do with it, right? That's why we call it Yule, because that's pre-Christian. It's just a fact. It's like, I mean, Romans had Saturnalia. There's many other traditions like that, right? And then there was a partial melding merger.
Traditions have bled over, yes. Yeah,
right,
of course.
Over time, later on, and then of course, you know, the Christians have their own kind of additions on top of that inside of what is Christmas today. But no one is saying Christmas is pagan, Yule is pagan, Saturnalia is pagan, Christmas is a new merging Christian tradition that blended with pre-Christian traditions, right, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think there's let's fight over that right now.
Yeah, I mean? People are too easily offended by this, and it's ridiculous. I had a friend who reached out today, and she said, I shared your Yule video in this Telegram chat, right? And apparently they're like-minded on a lot of things, but they got offended by that because they're Christian.
Yeah. Oh, well. You can't win them all. That's just how it goes.
Pretty cool. I've noticed this year a lot more people are talking about Yule and a lot of the pre-Christian traditions and stuff. Like there's a resurgence of that coming back, right?
So, oh yeah, definitely.
That's good. Each year I see it's becoming more and more popular. So.
Indeed. Let me take a couple of these here. João Equado, I hope I pronounced that correct. João, I think it is. Is that Brazilian? Happy Yule, Red Eyes family. Been a member for 4 years. Well, thank you. Appreciate the support. Very kind of you. And we'd love to come visit Idaho sometime as we plan to transitioning there in the future.
Awesome.
There's here's to our people in the coming year. I suspect it'll be a crazy one. That's what I think as well. Definitely let us know when you're up here. Good to hear from you. And thank
it's
you for your support
place.
As well. Indeed. And kind of the same one really in the same vein here from Den Mother. So looking forward to being part of the Northern Idaho folk family. There you go. Welcome. Let us know when you're up here.
Cool. Awesome.
Good stuff. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. All right.
Come on, Matt. We're ready for you. I'm just.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Check this out. He'll jump in when he jumps in. No hurry, Matt, if you're watching. What if you're ready? Whittish. Texas board withdraws clemency recommendation for George Floyd. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Texas Board of Pardons and Parole said it had made procedural when it issued a recommendation that Mr. Floyd be posthumously pardoned for a 2004 drug conviction. Ouch. Huh? How's that going? I guess it was Greg Abbott's fault or something like that. Anyway, I think that's it. I think Matt's with us. Can you hear us, Matt? You might have to.
He heard the whip.
You might have to unmute. I think Brave it gives you a default mute.
This is cool. We're using Brave for the first time too. Huh? Well, maybe not your first time, but
yeah. Let's see. Matt, are you there?
I'm here. Can you guys?
Oh, there we go. There we go. Awesome. How you doing, Matt? Good to see you.
Ah, it's good to see you guys too. Yeah, this is my first time using Brave as well.
It's actually, I think it's pretty intuitive. It's like Hangouts or something like that, but it's, you know, it's much more secure, and we have some, you know, it's a good privacy-oriented one as well, you know. All right, good to see you, Matt. How's this year been for you guys, both with the AFA, but also personally? It's been kind of a roller coaster, you know.
The year of the jab, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's been a crazy couple of years, but it's been great for us. Things have been on track. Things have been awesome. Nothing's really impeded what we've done. We had our biggest ever midsummer at, I think, 152 people this year. We're very close. We're almost closed on our fourth Hof. We're going to have Njord's Hof opening in Florida very soon. So we're doing fantastic.
Nice.
Personally, we're doing great. My daughter, she's just growing like a weed. And
how old is she now? How old is she now, Matt?
20 months, almost exactly.
Oh, wow. Man, very time good. Flies by.
Nice.
It does.
Perfect. Yeah. That's awesome. So how's things when the, so good growth on AFA, the Austria Folk Assembly?
Yeah, great growth on us. It's been a little bit difficult internationally because so many borders are closed down, and that's hard for some folks. But no, we've been doing fantastic.
Yeah, we played that hilarious CNN hit piece. I don't know if I'm sure you saw that one. And we were mocking it. We were playing through it and stuff. I don't. What did you think about that one?
It's, you know, it's unfortunate. I think trying to get fairness out of the media is very, very difficult. But what I don't think they realize is every time they do a hit piece, our membership grows. The people that are susceptible to buying into that already do. But what they do is open it up to an entire audience of people that have never heard of us, didn't know we existed. So it all works out fine for us.
No, that's true. That is actually true. I think I saw it. Yeah, was it CNN? It was CNN, right? It was CNN hit piece. I for some reason I just happened to see it today too. I was looking for my own link on Google because I wanted a cached version of something because I almost ruined a coding thing. It's like, oh shit, what code went in there? And I happened to see they have a new feature, and I saw that Red Ice TV is a white nationalist and white supremacist outlet as described by CNN, the kind of thing. And it's like, you know, the more they push these kinds of accusations, and the more crazy they get in their lunatic interpretation of just, you know, normal reactions of like normal things that people need to do, normal, you know, standing up for yourself and stuff like that. I think it could be, at this point, it's actually beneficial, as you say. Because it's like, if you're on their side, considering how idiotic they are, you're doing something wrong. You know what I mean, Matt?
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And the way things have gotten so polarized, in a lot of ways, it's really unfortunate. But in other ways, it's kind of taken that middle ground out. And when your average American is being labeled all these hateful things by the left, at some point it loses its sting and they start to see what's going on. One of the biggest things that's been great for us is having our three Hofs. We're actively engaged in each of the communities that we're in. And people are able to very clearly see the difference between what the media says and what we actually do. And that's been one of the really nice things, especially with our Hof in Murdoch in Minnesota.
Awesome. You have one in California. I'm not sure if that's an issue you don't want to give there or something, but it's California and what's it, Michigan? And then
So we've got Odin's Hof in Brownsville, California, Thor's Hof in Linden, North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
really close to like Fayetteville. And then we've got Baldershof in Murdoch, Minnesota.
Nice. Awesome.
That's right.
And so the church conversion, was that a different location that they went to, the CNN piece? Was that a different location?
That's Minnesota.
That's Minnesota.
Yeah, that was the one. That was Baldershof in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Carried by CNN, but I think The Guardian were the ones behind it. But it was really funny. The other thing that I don't know what their strategy is, but when they show the difference between the kind of fluffy universalist pagan group that denounces us and then us, it does a very good job of making a clear distinction.
It does.
Yes. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was talking about those leftists that embraced the meme fully, 100%. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I made a couple of images of that. Maybe I could pull it up later. I'll find it. That. Yep. It's funny.
Now, what do you think in terms of this year and the Great Reset and everything that these globalists are pushing hard and fast with COVID and the lockdowns and just they're just going in for it? What do you think about everything unfolding and where do you think that they're trying to take it?
You know, I always wonder. I wonder who benefits, and I think that a number of people probably do in different ways. I think at some point they want to see how far they can take it and just at what point the breaking point is. I don't know. A lot of those things are, I don't know if we'll ever have a clear answer for, but what I think's happened, especially the more they continue with the extreme reactions to a not very extreme disease, regular people are starting to wake up and they're starting to wonder where this, you know, where the boogeyman's at, because they've been sitting at home for 2 years now. And, you know, we're out here living our lives and we're doing just fine. So it's pretty good when we have our own, whenever we can create our own structure and have things going.
Hey,
I don't know, have things going on our own land. Like I said, that's one of the best things about the Hof. For the past 2 years, when we've got people at our Hofs, you know, we're hugging, we're passing a horn around, we're being normal humans, and we seem to be doing all right. So I think regular people are starting to see that and think mainstream media is losing the credibility that it had just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they're pushing so hard and so fast. They're boiling the frog and, too fast. And I think a lot of people are jumping out. I'm not sure if you've seen any other footage. Like Germany is going like crazy now with the demonstrations and stuff. And again, there's a broad base there. You know, it's a lot of working class people. They're just normal, regular people and families. They're tired. They're sick of this. And I think it's actually a great opportunity to get people to if they can, you know, wake up to that as an issue, you can piggyback other issues on top of that.
Oh, that's happening. Yeah.
You can, they're lying to you about this. What else are they lying about? Why they're exaggerating? Obviously, they're not looking out for our health in this regard. This is about control and stuff. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for just kind of a mass awakening in the wake of something like this.
Well, I think so too, and we're not going to hear about it on the news, but we're certainly going to see it, you know, in our day to day, and we're going to run into it more and more. I've just watched here locally out in Nevada how people have started trusting it less and less. The diehard mask people from, you know, 6 months, a year ago now have kind of realized they wasted a lot of their life for very little reason. So people are waking up. The distrust, because the media is telling them things that just aren't true. I think that's starting to really cross the aisle. So I think that's positive.
Now, I know also the AFA's has created a statement on the vaccine, right, for AFA's religious exemption. Is that correct? Because a lot of people are seeking religious exemption. So
people are a little bit displeased. We don't have a religious exemption from the AFA. And the reason that we don't is the AFA is not anti-vaccine. Most of us are anti this vaccine or this disease administered by these people at this time. But we want to be very careful, and it's my understanding that we can't just pick and choose vaccines that we don't like. Now, that said, most of us are opposed to getting vaccinated for this. I certainly am. I don't know what the vaccine does, but I know what it doesn't do. It doesn't prevent you from getting COVID-19, and I think that we've seen that very, very clearly. But most people have been able to find ways around getting exemptions as far as I think it's called deeply held personal beliefs. It depends on what state you're in. We've had a whole lot of people go for exemptions at their workplace and get them.
Well, that's good.
Because, that's very good, yeah.
Because I know that there are some places that are just not honoring it. Like, they don't care. Unless you're, Muslim or Orthodox Jewish or not even Christian Scientists. In fact, I even heard someone told me that one of their family members who was just a Christian Scientist not too long ago actually got the vaccine. It was like, what? Like, that's some strong mind control happening right there.
No, it's frustrating. I get it. People got to do what you got to do. You got to put food on the table. You got to, there's some stuff that you just have to get by and do the best you can. But it's very, we're going through a lot of difficulties with my family, with my father and my stepmother. My stepbrother is an epidemiologist for the CDC, and they're all in on this stuff. So we're having a pretty rough time with it family-wise, but.
And that's happened to a lot of family. I hear that too. Like, deep division, you know what I mean? Like internally in families and stuff like that. And it's kind of reshuffling quite a bit. I mean, if it was an issue before of, let's say, that someone opposes, people of European descent being replaced in their countries, this has become an even bigger issue because it's right in front of everybody, right? Like, it's, you can't, avoid that. Some people just don't get maybe involved politically and stuff like that. But this stuff is like right in your face. You have to do it. And the propaganda too have been, relentless. The coercive measures, the mind control, behind all of this have been something I've never seen before.
Well, I've never been put in a position where I need to make medical decisions based on political and social shaming before.
Exactly.
The argument's not even made that it's somehow better for me. It's completely ideological. And I have seen that. That was one of the things, just personally with my stepmom reacted to us very hostily. So my family, we got the COVIDs and it sucked. It was a really rough flu there for about a week. And then we're fine and everybody's fine. But when she found out, she was angry at us that we had the audacity to get it and be doing okay.
Yeah,
about you have this horrible plague that's killing everyone.
I've heard other people say the same thing. Like they're disappointed by that.
It's a status thing now.
Subconsciously, they know it's not a huge deal. If you have underlying conditions, that sucks. And I'm not going to say this doesn't hurt some people. It does. But for the average person, it's really not that bad. Mm-hmm. And I think they know that. They're more offended that I'm not, telling them about the emperor's beautiful clothes than anything else. And I think that's really telling. And I think normal people are picking up on that. Yeah. The emperor's naked.
Yes, indeed. And I think it's also, we hear that from the pulpit of the regime leader, from the Sakis and the Bidens and all that stuff. Like, don't politicize this and stuff like that. And it's like, they have been doing this from day one. I mean, they're the ones who did this. And now, of course, there has been kind of a long political, not always, but for the most part, it's somewhat down political lines. And it's, for the most part, I think it's right-leaning, conservative, even nationalistic-minded people. Not 100% across the board, but, for the most part. And so if they see someone out there in the world without a mask or without a vax sticker on or whatever the hell it is, right? Or how many do you have five boosters? How many boosters do you have now? This become like a status thing, what I mean? Even people that have gotten this disease, this is like the talk of the time. They can tweet about this and put it on their social media and stuff. And like, oh yeah, my boy had it too, and we took the vax. And this is this
I love
to
know too how it's like the vaccine. Like you had said earlier, you're not, some of your people are not against all vaccines, right? But there's only one vaccine now, right? So even if you got all these other vaccines, if you didn't get this one, you were unvaccinated and practically a terrorist, right?
All my harping on this is, I hope folks realize this is me talking, not the official stance of the AFA on it. But what I find really, really sad is there's a whole group of people who were elderly that missed the last 2 years of being with their family. There's a lot of people stuck in nursing homes that haven't been able to see their loved ones. There's honored people that didn't get a proper funeral, that didn't get proper respects when they passed. There's people who died sad and alone because we've pretended that this is worth stopping life for. and families have been torn apart. The AFA gives me a real broad insight because we have members literally around the world, all different ages, all different economic classes. We haven't had any members die of this. We had one person that I know that passed tangentially related to the AFA, and she was in her 90s. But I've known a lot of suicides in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that the mental health toll on this is something that we may never get a real answer of. But aside from it just being annoying and offensive and the stuff for podcasts, it's really hurt a lot of people, and I don't think any good's come out of it. And it's scary because I really hope this is a lesson that folks learn a couple of years down the road from now, and I worry that they won't.
Yeah, what was it? I'm trying to find the news story, but fentanyl deaths were like the number one cause of death. And that's, I think, directly also tied into
related to people being lockdowns depressed and broken.
Yep,
and,
all those things, right? And so the second, there was fentanyl deaths, and then it was suicides, I believe. And then number three, and this is them, we don't have to get into the details of them, like fudging number or what the cases mean and stuff like that. But, it was like number three or something with COVID. Number four. So it was like the top three. There were three other things that they essentially ignore, So the fourth thing on the top, causes of death is what's causing a complete overhaul of our entire society. We're shutting things down. We're closing down businesses. We're ultimately, people are losing their livelihoods and stuff like that for number four on that list. The ones above is basically no discussion about it. And it's like, well, that's fine. That's a given, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a whole group of society that, we've encouraged to take steps to fix their mental health for years now, in various forms of treatment, therapy, seeing their doctors, seeing their family members. Hell, just even being stressed out and going to the bar or going to a game or something that normally would let people not, be relieved of their stress. And all of that's taken out from under people. We've been really fortunate in the AFA that it hasn't stopped our gathering and our worshiping our gods and our fellowship together. But I can imagine some of these old folks that have spent their whole life church going, and they've been going to church every week since they're kids. And now they've spent, some people have still spent 2 years now with no connection to their God, no connection to their faith. That's frightening, and it's terrible. It's terrible to imagine these people having to go through that. And I feel terrible for them, and it's very unfortunate.
Yeah. I remember a couple of cases out of Canada where they literally came and, they took the pastor and they're like,
arrested him because arrested he defied him. The orders, right? Yeah. And had his service anyway. And then there were FBI raids and stuff. Look, they don't want us getting together, and especially certain groups that, forming communities and getting together. But we should speak a little bit on that, because I think as things are clamping down, things are falling apart, whether it's it's all manufactured, right? It's all part of the plan. And I think they don't want us to have strong communities, to be self-sustaining, to be able to take care of each other, have our own little kind of ecosystems, right? And economies and things. And that's one of the things I think that's important that AFA is doing, because you're helping build tribes, right? Tribes of people. So can you talk on the importance of building community a little bit?
Well, yeah, that's been huge, and it's been illustrated very dramatically the past, couple of years with this. Like I was saying earlier, we've had some of our best and biggest gatherings ever because we have these little islands of normalcy out in a world that's really, really chaotic right now. But because we have our own land and our own community and our own space, people are able to go have a breath of fresh air of normalcy and give people a hug and look people in the face and see smiles and share meals with one another. And it's been really, really nice. And it may seem small, but a few years ago, we didn't have that. Now we have three places soon to be here. And I'm hoping about a month or so, we're about to have four, to where, however often our folk can gather and have that normalcy. I think one of the other things that's really interesting with this that I think goes into community is this has shown people a market that was very hostile to the idea of homeschooling that, hey, maybe homeschooling's not that bad. I think that's one of the unintended consequences of this is it's demonstrated to a large swath of society that, you know, maybe homeschooling's not such a bad deal. And that's been very encouraging.
But, it like a million? I'm trying to remember the number, but to the tune of like a million kids or something that had left public school
that's
over the
great.
Last 20 months.
Out
or something.
Of that yeah. indoctrination system, you know, that's a fantastic thing. Their minds
really
can still
is.
Be innocent.
And that's not going to go back to where it was. I mean, I'm sure a lot of those kids will go back, but the increase in homeschooling is going to stay there. You know, maybe not at the same number, but the net increase is absolutely there. And it's been shown that, you know, if you guys were worth doing it for the last 2 years over this, then why not keep going? And I think that's going to be a real positive of this.
Well, and I think, Matt, I want to get your take on this too, but I don't think this is going to go away unless the people put down their foot. There could be, you know, of course, a counteraction. But I'm saying if let's assume they just get their way and they, you know, we won't be able to stop this or something. I don't think it's going to be replaced with something else. I think it will now be a permanent setting there. You know, we've heard some of these globalists talking about, well, it's going to be endemic, which means, you know, three, four booster shots each year.
Like a flu season.
Like a flu season thing, right? And of course, that's kind of how it begun, like a coronavirus and all that stuff, right? But they will just add on restrictions and more things and more things and more things, unless, of course, you know, we put the foot down. But where do you think this is going, and where do they want to take it?
I don't know. They've always talked about the new normal. They were saying new normal a lot about a year ago, and I think that they realized that was offending a lot of folks. I don't know. I'm not even sure they know where they want to take it. I think a lot of this is to see how far they can push. One of the biggest tragedies of this is, you know, and I don't know how millennials are. I don't know how they're wired on this, but certainly my generation, all of the people who taught me about America and Ben Franklin talking about, you know, if you're willing to give up your freedom for security, then you don't deserve either. And all these just basic American truths that we're brought up with, the very generation that taught them to us have just cast them aside like they're nothing. So I'm curious what the other side of this is. I think a lot of people's eyes are very open. I think they're going to be a lot less gullible. I think if we do get, you know, various freedoms and rights back next time they say 14 days to stop the spread, I think a lot more people are going to try to stop that. It's the longest 14 days I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
But the other thing is, you mentioned, you know, all these however many thousands of boosters we're going to end up having to get from it. Those of us who just went out and got it and got kind of sick and then recovered, and, you know, it took us about a week. I think these folks that have gone in for booster number 8, 9, and 10, looking at how the rest of us are doing all right, there's comes a point mentally where they no longer are going to put up with it, and it's just not going to make sense. So I'm curious where that breaking point is, and hopefully we'll have enough community and structure built afterwards to where, you know, people will be better prepared for this next time it comes around.
Yeah, and hopefully a big percentage of those people aren't permanently injured after that.
Right, right. I think the breaking point is a good point, Matt. I think the breaking point is obviously varies for different people here. I'm showing a screenshot of this is out of Ireland, but there's been similar things. There's some people took the screenshots of the source code of the French vaccine passport. There was an app, but there was a web-based version too, and they had left room for eight shots total, which is what then two, you know, like six boosters or something. And that's the same thing here. There's like two, you know, two shots marked, and then you have four left. Who knows, you know, how much this is? But I've seen from some people, you know, normie type people, they complied on the first one. And many of them, not all, complied on the second one. It's like, all right, that's it. You know, done. I did my part. I've done what I was asked to do and stuff. And now it's like, no, this Omicron strain is going to demand a whole new set now. Not only boosters, but like shot one and two and then boosters to take care of this. And also, you have to mask up again, by the way. And you have to social distance. And it doesn't protect you. And yes, you can be hospitalized, but most likely you won't die. But, you know, that we've seen that too, right? But at some point, if you don't begin to question at some point along the line of booster three or four, I don't know if there's much hope for you, to be honest. You know?
Well, another thing that occurs to me is, in order for me to get vaccinated, I need to be more afraid of the disease than I am the vaccine. And I think increasingly, especially as we see, you know, the vaccine and booster one and booster two and booster three being completely useless, I think regular folks are going to start being much more afraid of these continual vaccines than of this disease that they hear about on the news.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. Let me see if there's anything else here. I want to give you an opportunity as well, of course, as usual, Matt, talk a little bit about the organization. If some of the audience are curious, what would you like to say to them to get them pulled in or interested? Where can they go for information? Where can they learn more and so forth?
All right. Well, first and foremost, guys, happy Yule. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I always love talking to you guys. Anybody who is interested in OustraTru or in the OustraTru Folk Assembly, please go to our website, www.runestone.org. And also, the best way to see and get a real feel of who we are and what we're about is to go to our YouTube page. Yes, surprisingly, YouTube has treated us fairly and we're still on YouTube. So if you go check us out on YouTube, just OustraTru Folk Assembly, we've got tons of video content. You can see what an AFA event looks like. You can listen to me yap about stuff if you're so inclined. But yeah, come by, check us out. And if you have any questions or whatever, please feel free. We've got a contact page or email me, Matt Flavel, F-L-A-V-E-L, at runestone.org. And I'd love to hear from you and answer anything I can.
Fantastic. Yeah, I follow you guys' Odyssey and BitChute as well. You guys are on there. You have a Telegram page. VK, actually. Yeah, you guys are big on VK, too. That's were you guys booted off of Facebook?
We were part of the big January culling on Facebook. So we're off of Facebook. We have a VK presence. We're on MeWe now. It's kind of a nice little platform, but we're trying to, you know, as long as we got the people to do it, we're trying to get our message out there as in as many different places as possible.
Exactly. Fantastic. Thank you, Matt. Always good to see you. Good Jul, as we say in Sweden. Happy Jul. Always good to see you. Runestone.org, ladies and gentlemen, that's website. Let's stay in touch and good luck with future works.
And say Matt. Hi to your wife for me.
Absolutely, I will.
Awesome.
Happy Jul, guys.
Happy Jul. Thank you. All right, there we go. That's Matt. Yeah, so check out the website there for sure. Good stuff there, as usual. And, of course, we'll get Stephen joining us here in a little bit. I wanted to take a couple of these super chats before we get Stephen in here. I know California says, my coworker and I were helping a customer, and he was wearing a shirt with an image of a Mjolnir. He wished us a Merry Christmas, and I wished him back a Happy Yule. My coworker turned to me and asked, what is Yule? I said, his white card is revoked. There you go.
Hey, come on, you got to start somewhere, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame him, but yeah, I know you're right.
I mean, I didn't know this stuff until like 10 years ago and, going to Sweden.
Yeah. It's a learning curve for a lot of people. That's how it is, right? Lycan Warrior says, Haitian asylum seekers sue U.S. government for anti-black racism with the immigration system. Really? Ridiculous to see how much this country caters to illegals and dumb lawsuits. Yeah, and what was the... Let me see if I have that here. Check this one out. Did you see this one, Atlana? Foreign-born population soars to new record under Biden. Highest rate of immigrants since 1910.
Yeah.
And I think I said this Wednesday, but like in 1910, it was like Swedes, Norwegians, and Danes, and Finns or something. Like that was the majority, immigrants at that point too, I think, you know. Not a big surprise. There's a link there. Thank you, Lycan. We might pull that up later. Is that from, this is Democracy Now. So they're like, oh my God, that's so bad. All the racism. They should just open their borders and let them all in.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Tipsy McStagger, you saw that on Odyssey. Thank you for the dono there. Merry Christmas and Happy Yuletide. Pure Bloods, thank you. Same to you. Lawrence Forbes says, best of the seasons to H&L. Much love. Did you see this one? It's broadcast safe. They're the Magi, Maggie, right? Down on your knees. I've not seen that. Let me see what goes going on here. Maybe there's something we can show. Is it this one? Monday Black Pack. We Three Kings. Is that the one? I have not seen this.
Three Kings. Is that what this is?
I'm not sure what it is, but right. let's read. It's on YouTube, so it should be hopefully not too many. Dixon.
Ring in the holidays with Tay Diggs, Neo, and Eric Bellinger in a special musical celebration. The Black Pack, We Three Kings, holiday special.
Is this a joke? I mean, it looks like a joke to me.
Oh, jeez.
The Black Pack. again, this goes to what I was talking about. Was one of the Flashback Fridays. It was in some dumb store, like the Home Store or something. My friend also pointed this out, but it was black Jesuses, black angels, black wise men, like African. I'm like, none of this is African mythology, even according to like the biblical, you know, whatever you believe. Like, it's not African.
Well, they're trying hard, aren't they? Kwanzaa wasn't a big success. I guess they just have to appropriate Christmas / Yule, right?
Turns out Jesus was really from Africa, right? He was an African.
Well, yeah.
Mary, I'm not sure. Joseph.
At least, I mean, obviously the Middle Eastern look, you know, they've tried to, you know, kind of insert in there, right? There's probably some black Jesuses out there, I would assume.
Oh, no, I saw them in the store. And they were all on clearance, by the way.
Which I wonder. Geez, I wonder why.
And the black Santas, too. And the Nutcrackers. I remember I was just mouthing off when I was seeing it. Like, this is ridiculous, you know? And there were guys in the store that were agreeing with me and cracking up. It's like, come on, people, speak up.
Yep, that's right. Know? Thank you, Lawrence. Tyler Hawkinson, good you, everyone. Glad you both got some mead. It's a great drink to have for the holidays and with friends. Looking forward to the guests today. Thank you for the great work you've done this year. And here's to the next school. Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate that. Yeah, excellent mead, by the way. I do appreciate that. Very good stuff. Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate it. Good to see you as always. Shadow Government says, let me see here. Maybe this is autocorrect or something. It says S clear. Maybe it is clear that this is a genetic bioweapon. That's the only reservation I have about that is if it is, the death rate is not really good, effective in it. But again, maybe the hoodwink thing is part of it, right? You introduce it's a bioweapon in the sense that maybe it's very infectious, let's say, but it doesn't kill people because maybe that would be, I don't know, who knows what's going on at the back end, some legal thing or something. Who knows, like, oh, we could be found out or something, right?
So they don't care about
so we'll introduce the we'll introduce the cure as the actual, you know, bioweapon of sorts, which it is, right? I've said there's like it's an overlap, right? It's both. It's a virus and the vaccine and the virus is like the same thing, essentially. It makes your body, in your body, the same thing replicates. RoboThink says, hello, my fellow purebloods. Yeah, thank you, RoboThink. That's right. I thought that was an old one at first, but that's a new one. Thank you, RoboThink. Good to see you. And VultureMan with I think, is that a little party emoticon? Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Very, very kind. All right, let's see what else we have here before we get Steven.
What do you
in.
Think about the year? I know he's setting up here.
Oh yeah, no worries. He can take his time.
What do you think?
Let me play
back at the year.
Let me play. This could be fun. Let me a little interlude here, and then we'll get to that. Check this out.
Hey guys, I just got my fourth shot, and it's really coming in strong. They say the second shot is rough. The fourth one comes in with a vengeance. The side effects have been interesting. I did lose my sense of taste. I lost my sense of smell, and I did lose my sense of humor. nothing's funny. Everything's very triggering. I just watched The Office, and like nothing. Everything just feels racist. And I don't know if that's the side of, I don't know, but either way, what else? My white guilt is really flaring up. I just saw a black guy in the street. I said, take my last $10. He's like, no, I'm a lawyer. I have plenty of money. I was like, no, you need it more than I do. So anyways, the fourth shot, just beware, but get it and do your part.
Get ahead of that Omicron.
Well, it's a true story. That's what it is. Well, I think it's about to get rockier. I've said that a few times, but they're not done. They're definitely not done. This is the World Economic Forum just canceled their January 2022 event in Davos, Switzerland. They're going to have some online thing or whatever, but they're going to, I guess, do it in June or something instead. But they're going to jump on this, and they're going to try to make things much, much worse. We might have some kind of Operation Polygon thing coming up as well. You know, if it's not a cyber attack, it's going to be an actual dangerous bioweapon, such as smallpox or something else, right? I think they're going for the kill. Like, they're doing this. There's no doubt about that. But as we said when Matt was here, like that's a great time, a great opportunity as well. I mean, it's like they're making a move, and we're kind of along for the ride, even if we want to or not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this is our time to strike. In the sense that, like, try to get as many. It's kind of like the Titanic. It's like it's doomed. It doesn't matter what we do. Our job, in a way, is to, like, just get the lifeboats in the water and get as many people off of the boat as possible. That is basically our
job.
Not
to fight about the furniture, you know, as we go down.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Polishing the brass on the Titanic. Like, this is great. You know, the orchestra is still playing, and, you know, it's like everyone's pretending there's nothing's going on here. You know, again, hopefully it won't be as bad. You know what I mean? Hopefully it will be, you know, it won't go as some of the worst predictions have outlined at this point. Because again, I mean, the majority of people that this is targeted towards is white European mm-hmm. people. You know what I mean? They're the ones who are like have the highest uptake in the world of this thing and stuff. So, you know, it's really it's aimed for white people. And then again, if they could have, you know, give it up the patents to give it to the rest of the world, they would have done that by now, and they haven't. They still, you know, are blaming the West for this, and they're saying, like, oh, you know, this is really bad, and we have to share with everybody. But then, like, but you're not doing that because you're only caring about the West here. And that's not for selfish reasons, by the way. That's for reasons because they want us to kind of get it, right? So now we'll see. We'll see what happens. What do you think about the coming year here?
Yeah, I just really feel it's important to be in a good area. If you're not in a good area, I think it's going to be important to move and try and get resettled somewhere else. I mean, there's places like New York that are insane, California that are insane. There's political refugees that are fleeing. They're going to good pockets, like Matt said. There's still pockets of sanity. There's pockets where you can have your nice little snow globe. It's important to get into those right now, I think.
Yeah.
To just prepare for things that are coming. Again, building community, networks, friends, having good employers, things like that is important moving ahead. So if you're miserable where you're at, you don't like what you're doing, you don't like your job, I think that it's really important to get out of those situations and, you know, live your truth and find somewhere where you can be happy, where you're ready to put some roots down for things that might be coming if it does get rocky.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know what we can do? Let's do this. Let me create a new link for Stephen McNallan right there. He has issues coming in.
Yeah.
Let's play the...
Says the room is already full.
That's strange, yeah, because it was like a four should be able to join. But let me create a new link. We can actually... Let's look at... in the meantime, we can look at... where's my notes? Here it is, right here. The Spirit of Yule, a Christmas story from Survive the Jive, right? He had his book... It's a couple of years ago, but we can play at least parts of this, and then I'll create a new link, send that out to Steven, and we'll try to get him in here. So let me pull this up. Enjoy this for a few minutes, guys.
This is a good one. It's kind of a blend of Dickens with merges with a little paganism, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good stuff. We'll be back in a little bit. Enjoy this.
Never is the spirit of Christmas more keenly felt than after midnight mass. And so, with festive sentiments of Christian compassion, I left the warmth of St. Cuthbert's in Wensley village on Christmas Eve of 1888 and headed out into the rural darkness of midwinter. Although I felt the cruel sting of winter's bite beneath my overcoat, the moonlight shone so brilliantly upon the frost-covered Sussex landscape that I could not resist the temptation to take the scenic route home through the woods. I strode briskly to aid circulation, but I must admit that my pace dwindled with my spirits as the leafless oak boughs crowded in around me and the silence of the wood was broken by the shriek of a barn owl, echoing without answer between the solemn and ancient trees. Despite the moon's eerie radiance, the wood allowed little light through to illuminate the white frost that coated each twig and branch, and so I strained my eyes to keep to the thin path, which, though familiar to me, seemed ever more alien as I progressed deeper into the forest. Accepting that I was lost, I tried to raise my spirits with thoughts of the village wassailers singing for cider, and of the warm mulled wine I would allow myself before bed. But these visions were shattered by a sudden sense of dread at the sight of a hellish bulk moving through the gloom toward me. It was a well-built man wielding an axe. As his powerful form slipped from the shadows into the pale light of the moon, I realized that it was no son of Adam, but some demonic creature, adorned with medieval armor and foliage. I thought to run, or even drop to my knees in prayer, but my limbs were petrified as though bewitched, and were not released until the figure let out a hearty laugh and cried,
"Who be thou to think ye knowest the spirit of Eula? Yet before her the grain of Crete shrinketh."
I recalled from school the legend of the Green Knight who visited the court of King Arthur on Christmas to teach the knights of Christian virtues. This was no demon. "I am a good Christian, Sir Knight, with great compassion for my fellow man," I explained. "Please do not harm me." The dark face twisted with scorn. Then he beckoned me to follow, and I, through sheer fear, complied. The woods and the path remained unfamiliar, and the trees larger and more numerous than I had recalled from my daylight walks. But ahead I heard, with relief, the sound of merriment and the smell of a log fire. As we drew near to the source of the noise, I saw what seemed to be an unusually long thatched cottage without windows. The knight moved silently over the hard rime, as though his great frame carried no weight at all. The only sound was the savage, rhythmic chanting from within the cottage. He strode to the door and pushed it open, beckoning me inside. But I stepped not into a cottage, but a grand mead hall, like those of Anglo-Saxon antiquity. About a long table stood tall masks adorned in furs and bright clothes of an almost oriental style, woven with all patterns. I shrunk in horror at the terrifying sight of the enormous spears and short swords which they waved aloft and rhythmically pounded together in time to a primitive and unholy chanting. At first, I could not decipher the screams beneath their hideous mask, but as I gathered my senses, I realized it was a single word. Eula. Eula, repeated over and over like some cannibal jungle tribe mocking the sacred day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Transfixed in terror, I had not yet thought to flee, but by the time the notion gripped me, it was too late, for they had stopped and turned toward me in silence. A large man adorned with gold jewelry stood at the head of the table and removed his horned mask to reveal a fierce bearded face.
"Do you guest enter my hall to worship the father of Eule?"
he boomed. "Of course," I replied. I am a pious Englishman who loves the season as much as any other. I am ever so sorry for disturbing you, only
then
I...
"You shall drink of the mead horn with us,"
he shouted while raising his arms, a signal which prompted the whole hall to erupt into merriment. The men laid down their weapons and removed their masks and skins of wolves, bears, and boars to reveal, to my surprise, typically English faces that one may find in any church. Then beautiful girls appeared, bearing enormous horns gilt with gold foil and brimming with what I assumed to be honey mead. One was handed to the master of the hall, who raised it aloft and cried out,
"To the Eule, father!"
"Hey!"
Then he drank a long draught, and the horns were passed around. Still cold from the forest, I was gratefully warmed by the sweet spice brew. And drinking, I wondered why these peculiarly costumed, yet fully grown fellows were drinking a toast to Father Christmas. I assumed they were mummers or actors from some travelling pantomime. Two strangely costumed young ladies brought an enormous steaming cauldron to the table, and then each man was served a portion of pungent meat and broth from the cauldron. The mead was rather tough, I must say, but the broth fortifying, and I ate heartily until, to my horror, a man next to me turned and said,
"This was a noble and strong horse. His sacrifice will appease Woden and strengthen our people."
I spat out the meat in horror. "Sir, I am not so hungry that I would resort to eating some village neck."
All right, there we go, ladies and gentlemen. We have Stephen with us. Let me pause that clip. We'll watch the rest of that a little bit later, too.
Yeah, the ending's one of the best parts.
Well, I know. We'll definitely get to that. Stephen and Sheila is with us. Hey, guys. Good to see you. How are you?
Hey, we're good.
Good to see you guys. It was a while ago,
yeah,
Stephen.
It's been a while.
Kind of competing with the Eule story at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. It's Thomas Rausel. I'm not sure if you know some of his work, but yeah.
Yeah, we're sort of familiar with that one, yeah.
Awesome, that's
God,
great.
You guys haven't aged a bit since I've seen you.
Oh,
it's been
thank
a few
you.
Years.
Speaking of that story, we were just up in Washington at a Yule at Aberdeen with a lot of AFA members and other people. And they asked me to read that story to the children. And of course, they loved it. So very, very appropriate.
It's a great book, actually. Very, very good. We have a copy here, too. Very nice. Mm-hmm. How are things been for you guys? It's been a tumultuous year. We just had Matt Flaville talking about that, too. Just how crazy everything has been and just how upside down everything has been as well. How has you guys' year been?
We've got double and triple audio rolling on us right now, so it's very hard to make out what you're saying.
Oh, no. Okay. I wonder why that is. That's weird. Let me see here. What could be the reason for that? Let me see. Can you mute the stream? Are you running the stream in the background in a window?
Yes, we are. I don't know how to get rid of it.
Just pause it.
Yeah. Pull that window up and pause that or mute it, whatever you need to do.
We don't know how to find it.
I won't say boomer tech.
It's probably it's another tab or something. So you're going to have a delay on that, which is going to make it really confusing. So we got to get you muted on that first of all. It should be there. Another tab, presumably, in the browser window that you guys have. Another tab, and it might be playing in there.
It's playing.
Yeah.
It says.
Just stop that or mute that, and it should get better. Oh no! Oh, not that one. All right. We'll try to get them back, folks. Let's do this. Let's play a little bit more of Tom Rowles' piece here, and hopefully they can jump in. We'll be right with you guys. Hang tight.
All right.
I was startled by a splash across my face. Opening my eyes, I saw that I and the fellow next to me had been speckled with dark red liquid.
Woden is the roaring father of Yule, for whom we spill the chlort,
my neighbor said incredulously. Then a man dressed in white vestments carried a bowl of liquid into which he dipped a bundle of sticks, with which he splashed the liquid upon us and the walls and everyone else. Then he moved to the back of the hall to where a tall wooden post stood, upon which a most gruesome face was carved. What is chlort? I asked nervously, as the man in white solemnly splashed liquid onto the post.
It is the blood of the finest white horse which we spill as an offering to Woden.
Horrified, I realized I was covered in blood and implicated in some ungodly pagan ritual.
Longbeard, victory giver,
shouted the master, who stood before the meat cauldron.
I, the Earl, dedicate this horse meat and blood to you, the Yule Father. Jan Grimmer, Iron Mask we call you, and wear your masks with your ravens high above. Hildofer, Battle Wolf, and Brun Bear we call you, and wear these skins on the field of war, where you choose from the fallen. O ruler of heaven, bring our people victory for another year.
Bile began to rise in my throat as I realized I had partaken of some satanic parody of the Eucharist. Before I could be sick, I leapt to my feet and burst out the door where the Green Knight stood laughing. I hurtled wildly through harsh thorns and brambles of the wood, without care for my clothes or skin, until I finally collapsed. Eventually, I found my way home, but I remained bedridden with sickness and anxiety for a week. No one believed my incredible story, of course, but I will never forget it. The Green Knight lifted the Christian veil of Christmas, which had concealed the ancient ways of Yule, which my ancestors had known long ago.
All right, there we go. Good. I like that one. That's really nice. I think that back from 20. Oh, there we go. There's Tom right there. 2017.
Hey, Tom,
I think
thanks
that
for
is.
I didn't realize he was so theatrical too. Tom.
Yeah, he has an acting skill. I gotta say the voiceovers are actually pretty good. Yeah, 2017. He was kind enough to send a copy to Rorik and sign the copy as well, as it were.
The book. Yeah. That's great.
All right. Let's see.
They're back,
but we don't have video on you guys, but that's fine. Can you guys hear us?
Yeah.
We can hear you.
There we go. See if
we're
we can.
Getting doubled up.
Double again.
You're getting double audio again?
We couldn't find how to close the web browser that's open on you guys.
Are we plagued by bad tech this year? Is that what's happening?
No.
Sorry about that, guys. I'm not sure what to do from this end.
Okay, there you are.
Now we can see you.
Well, then you can do the talking, huh? How about
Tell us about the year.
Tell us about the year, yes.
Thank you. Okay. Well, good Yule, everybody. We're finally here.
Can you guys hear us?
We can hear you fine.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead and tell us how your year has been, guys.
We've still got the double talk.
We have to deal with that if we haven't.
You can't even hear what we say. That is a bummer for sure. I'm not sure what to do about that. We got to sort that out until next time. Sorry, guys. I'm not sure what to do. If you can hear us, just go ahead and tell us about how your year has been. You know, if you can't hear us, we'll have to figure it out on the back end or something.
Close down. Why don't just close down up there?
We'll give them a minute. We'll see if they can sort it out.
Yeah.
Nope. They dropped. All right.
Oh man.
All right. Okay. That's a bummer, but it is what it is. We're sending them a new new tech. We're using Brave, the talk.brave.com. The Brave browser released their own kind of like, it's like a Hangouts basically. The problem is if you don't have all the buttons in the normal places and stuff, that could happen. So what are you going to do?
You have to relearn too.
Yeah,
the new
exactly.
setup and everything.
Well Stephen and Sheila, if you guys hear us, so sorry about the bad tech. Don't mean to, but it seems to be some issue that we can't resolve, which is a big bummer, of course. But we'll have to try to pull you in next time. Sorry, guys.
I can message the question. And then you can just talk.
Yeah, we'll see if that works.
I tried that.
We have a few minutes before Jared joins us, so maybe we can see if they join in or not. But otherwise, did you? There they are again. Let's see.
I think that's Jared right there.
That is Jared. Yeah. Okay. They're being outcompeted here. All right. Well, what are you going to do? Jared, you with us?
Jared, you can just jump on in until McNallan's figured out, huh?
We had tech issues with them. Yeah, Jared, you have to unmute. It kind of mutes by default, both the camera and the mic, I think. So we'll give Jared a
which is good because a lot of times, like on Hangouts and some of those other ones, people come on and they're like eating, there's rappers, or they're swallowing, or they're talking, hey, honey, get it. You know, it's like, hey, by the way, that is going out. I remember we had that one year and we couldn't mute it and someone was just
Hangouts,
being so loud
We did a show on the Italian election and someone was doing a phone call or something in the back end and it was just going, and for some reason, Hangouts didn't allow you to mute like individual participants. We had to kill the entire call and then like bring them back.
They ruined like 15 minutes of that. I remember I was so triggered by it.
Yeah, that's true.
Think, man.
Hey, Jared, can you hear us? Oh, you're muted. Yep, try to unmute your down in the control bar. Yeah, it does that by default. Let's see if we can get the click on that mic down there if you hover down with the mouse.
Sporting the mustache too. Cool.
The mustache is great. Yeah, try that again. Hopefully there's no other issues here. We can get you in. We see you fine, Jared, but we can't hear you. That's the issue right now. So we'll hang out for a bit. We'll see if we can get you in. Sometimes I know if you have something else running, like even Skype or Hangouts, it steals the mic from you.
Does it really?
Yeah. So hopefully that's
okay.
Resolved.
We'll I think see he's what just happens. He's looking for the mute there.
Yeah.
I know. New software, huh?
Yeah, down in the bottom, I think it is. Let me see. I should have tutored you. Yeah, yeah. He probably sees that too. It could be. Maybe the settings, you have to choose the audio input, like the microphone input that you use. There's three little dots. I hate to be doing this on air, guys, but what are you going to do? It's mellow. Three little dots says more action. Click on that, and then you can click on settings. And then from there, you should be able to choose the microphone input that you have. So hopefully that works out. Try that, Jared, but we'll keep going. Try out a couple of different things and just let us know.
One, it's too much sound, and one is not enough sound. Huh?
that's how it goes sometimes. Let me take a couple of these super chats here, actually. So, thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Unrealistic Engineer says, hey, Red Ice, is the t-shirt with the original logo still available somewhere? That original design was fantastic. It is not.
We can reboot that, though.
We've had a couple of questions about that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. Unless you could, Jared, you might be able to jump back in again in the call. It could be if you have like Skype or something else running as well, you might could turn that off or something because it might steal your microphone connection. But see if you can jump out of the call and jump back in again and give access to the microphone of the camera, basically. We'll see if we can get him in a moment there. Vulture Man says, happy everything, you too. Well, there you go. Exactly. Just do that. How about everything? Let's just say everything.
I need it. I think this year, has been really challenging. I said this before.
Just like our tech, this stream.
No, it's been great in a lot of ways. Relocating, but getting here was difficult, and trying to get set up, and then of course, different weird health things and just crazy political things. But I know that next year is probably going to get rockier. But for us, I feel like it's going to be a really good year.
Yeah,
I think for a lot of our people, it's going to be a good year.
It's got to be. It has to be. I think a lot of, you know, dangerous, if you know, is that the right word? Dangerous. But you know what I mean? Like a lot of really hard challenges.
Yeah.
Maybe not individually, but like the bigger scope of things, you know.
But we're going in with clarity next year. Lots of clarity, you know. Like we know some of the stuff that they're trying to pull.
Glenn the Chinaman. Sorry, long to control. Glenn the Chinaman says, Jared Taylor is my favorite white anime character. There you go. Happy Yule and Merry Christmas. Thank you, Glenn. Good to see you. Thank you for the dono as well. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's right. You're on lockdown in Oz, huh? Yep.
And here's James Fitzgerald. Good to see you as well. James. Thank you, James. 2022 pro tip. Find good people. Even if you can't move, as many people can't, find the others in your area. I was blessed enough to move to an area with amazing people around. But great and competent people are everywhere. I think that's true. There's a lot of good people
around.
Pockets. Yeah. If nothing else, it will spare you from going completely insane. But if possible, move to Idaho. It's the best. So there you go. Thank you, James. Good to see you as well. Thank you for the generous donation as well. To you as well, Glenn, and everyone else.
Yeah, it's important to have support. It's important for guys to have their brotherhood, women to have their sisterhood, you know, especially if you have kids, for them to have other kids to play with. Those things become very important, especially nowadays.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. All right, Jared's back in the room. Let's see if we can hear you. Can you hear us, Jared? You can hear us, but we cannot. Yeah, I know, it's frustrating. Do you want to try Skype or something instead, something you're more accustomed to? I'm going to send a link to, or I'm not sure what it's doing and why it's doing that. The mic is cut off. Yeah, exactly. Jared said no mic. Okay, yep. It can't go. Yeah, it's got to be something with the input. Are you more? Would you be more comfortable with Skype if we open that up or something like that, or even what was the other one? Google Meet we can do. I think we did that last time. Let us send you a link to Google Meet, Jared, and we'll try that. Okay. Sorry about this. Maybe the brave thing was not a good idea. We'll be right back, guys. Stay tuned.
Worked for Matt.
Was that?
I said I worked for Matt.
Yeah,
one
it
person,
could be.
I
it
guess.
Could be. You know, there's some issue right there. But yeah, Jared, hang tight, and we'll send you a link in just a moment. Sorry about this, guys. Let me put a little pause screen on here, and then we'll be right back. Thank you, guys. Do appreciate your patience. Jared will be right with us. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Finally, we got the tech working. Unbelievable. We solved it, boys and girls. Jared Taylor, thank you so much for your patience there with the tech issues. How are you doing?
Well,
good to see you.
I'm very well. I'm flourishing into these strange times. I think COVID somehow stimulates me.
Good.
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
You look good.
That's excellent.
I look like full of energy and life. That's great. I love it.
Yes, I am.
So how has it been a good year for you then?
Yes, it has. And I can tell it's been a good year for you, too. You're doing great work, and I understand you're part of a thriving community.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, it's been rocky, up and down, personally. A lot of things. We did get sick of something. You don't even know what it is, but it was actually really rough. But we're, for the most part, out of that patch. But otherwise, we're still here. We're thriving by the grace of our supporters, of course, and who knows, maybe even higher forces. I'm not sure what's going on, but we're despite censorship and shutdown, as you're very well aware, Jared, you're suffering from the very same thing as we are on that front. Shutdowns, social media terminations, and stuff like that. But we're still here. We're doing our thing. We're growing on the alternative platforms. Same for you,
yes.
Jared.
So are we. And I'm very encouraged by many things. I think more and more white people are confused. They're baffled by what's going on. And they're taking the trouble. They're taking the time to look for us on the alternative platforms. I sometimes wonder just how incredibly dominant we'd be if we'd stayed on all the usual places that we got kicked off from. But our traffic is higher than ever. Our views are going up. I think I'm really very encouraged. The more they try to whack us, the more people are responding. And I think the reactions to critical race theory in schools, ordinary PTA moms are getting up and saying, this is anti-white and we're not going to have it. No, I'm quite optimistic, and I hope you are too.
We are. We always try to be white-pilled, as we say, you know, and not be downtrodden and stuff. And there's a lot of great challenges that we face and all that stuff. And certainly, it's an uphill battle. But you got to kind of learn to love that battle, and that's an important thing, to be part of that, to be in a time where we're pushing back against all of this evil, ultimately, and also that it's a great it's an honor to be part of that. It's a great opportunity. And in a way, the more they throw at us, the more, and they don't manage to shut us up. They don't manage to get us to go away. And as you say, people are still searching for answers. Yeah. They're making concerted effort to find voices of sanity and rationality among this crazy time. And I think they're getting more and more spastic and what's the term I'm looking for?
In psychotic? A
way, I guess so. But as they lash out, right? And as they try to, I mean, look at the domestic terrorism charges that's come, of course, obviously in the wake of January 6th, but so many other things that basically this whole system that was set up after 9/11 with Al-Qaeda and terrorism and stuff, that whole machine has now basically turned inwardly in America. And now there's a whole domestic terrorist class if you happen to be on the wrong side of the aisle, essentially, right? Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right. And as I often say, every orthodoxy lashes out with particular viciousness as it dies. And I think this one senses that it's dying. And it's becoming more and more vicious all the time. I can't tell you the number of people who write in and say to us, I was completely baffled by what was going on with the BLM and all these riots. And I've found the things that you say, the things that Vidar says, the things that Red Eye say, they're being driven to us, driven into our arms by the utter craziness of our times. And as I say, I'm really very encouraged. Our donors are active, viewers are active, listeners are active. And I think the other thing that I'm aware of is that quietly, it seems all around the country, there are these communities springing up of wide awake white people, and they are starting little publishing houses, political parties, activist groups. I think this is a real time of very encouraging ferment.
Oh, definitely. So what has been some of the big, big stories in a sense? There have been so many, you know, for Kyle Rittenhouse, the Smollett case recently was resolved in an interesting way. There's so many things that's happened. Of course, it's been dominated by COVID and then the mandatory vaccination discussion and all this kind of stuff. But what stands out to you from this year?
Well, I will tell you, the big American Renaissance story is we got our conference back on the road. We had to cancel last year because of COVID, but this year we came roaring back. It was a huge success. The other side tried to demonstrate, but they were just a feeble, pathetic bunch. The state of Tennessee protects us very, very thoroughly, as it always does. And, you know, I can't help thinking about the time the two of you came and covered an American Renaissance conference, and you set up a little studio back in the back of the hall.
That was really great.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, we should do that again.
Yeah, that was a blast. Yeah, we'll definitely have to do that again.
Yeah, definitely. With travel and everything too, that's been I'm not even sure what's going on actually on the domestic flight issue.
There were some people that were going to come to your conference from Europe, but they couldn't because of the vaccine issues, right?
That's correct. If you're coming for Europe, you have to be vaccinated, and our two parliamentarians did not want to be vaccinated, and so they attended via video, which was really very good, but certainly not like having them in person. Mm-hmm. But for domestic flying, you don't have to be vaccinated. All you have to do is wear a mask, and I think you can probably tolerate that for as long as it takes to get to us.
I do like that guy on the plane did the other day. He wore a red thong, and he was thrown off. It's the same. It's fabric.
It's fabric, right?
A cloth mask. It was just literally a formality of how the shape of the cloth was. But anyway, that was funny.
So long as it was red, I guess it was Christmas season.
Yeah.
So Yes, I've got my jolly elf here.
Nice.
He's wishing you all a wonderful Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Come on, where's your black elf, Jared?
I beg your pardon?
Come on, we need to see a black elf. I was just complaining how I was seeing black elves and Santas and Jesus is like galore in the store the other day.
They're trying to replace us in our traditions, Jared. Can you believe such a thing?
I'm just old-fashioned. But no, the conference was really a huge success. And really, if you all were willing to come and cover it the way you did that time, it must have been about 4 or 5 years ago.
Was it 2016?
16, I think.
Yes. That was really one of the best conferences we had. And you would interview the speakers after they gave their talk. It gave it a real sense of immediacy and excitement. Yeah. You all, as always, did great work.
Well, thank you, Jared. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, next, we're scheduled at the same place, good old Montgomery Bell State Park, next fall. And we should be announcing a lineup of speakers before long. And if y'all could make it, it would just be wonderful. You added immeasurably to that conference in 2016.
Oh, great.
Well, thank you. You're too kind. We do appreciate that. Yeah, no, definitely. We'd love to come. It's a great get together and stuff like that as well. And hopefully, what do you think is going to happen here with the push, right? I mean, most recently we had the Sixth Circuit Court. They were deciding to, let me see if I phrase this right, uphold the stay, or no, they did away with the stay. I forget what the bottom line is. They're basically saying the mandates are back on, and the Biden regime is going to, you know, ensure that all the workers out there, 84 million people, have to be vaccinated.
It's going to Supreme Court January. Is what's happening. Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that. But do you think, I mean, and we talked both with Matt and very briefly with Stephen about that, but the push seems, I mean, relentless, and it doesn't seem like they will let off. It seems that this will just kind of keep going for as long as they can, at least, until there's some pushback. What do you think?
Well, I think there's increasing pushback. And if it turns out that no matter how vaccinated, 2, 3, 5 times you're vaccinated, if you can still get it and then pass COVID on to people who are not vaccinated, then it seems to me there's absolutely no government reason or authority to tell us to get vaccinated. It might diminish the level of the sickness. That's what they're claiming. But if you can still pass it around, then there's absolutely no reason you're affecting anybody else. I think more and more people are seeing it that way. There's going to be more resistance to all of this. And my suspicion is if it does go up to the Supreme Court, they're going to say, no, you can't order millions of people to get vaccinated. Whatever the case, I think that people are getting sick and tired of this, and they want to get their lives back to normal. And even Atlantic Magazine, which has been one of the most conformist magazines now for years, they published a very sensible article by a guy who says, look, we're tired of this. We're going to get our lives back in order. We're going to start acting as though this thing doesn't exist. And to heck with all of this nonsense and hyperbole and hysteria. And people canceled their subscriptions to Atlantic. But this is a sentiment that I think is increasingly predominant. I sure hope so anyway.
Interesting. Yeah, they have some interesting takes on this too throughout the 21 months now here too. But that's the discussion, right? They're saying, well, this will be endemic, but it seems that the and of course at the what's the word, at the glee of the Pfizers and Moderna here, they are looking at boosters regularly, maybe multiple times a year even, or something like that. They've made already something to the tune of $33 billion, and I remember a time, Jared, and you probably do as well, when at least the leftists, the progressives, as they call themselves today, were kind of generally skeptical of not only big pharma but big corporations and the capitalist, you know, money making machine behind such a scheme. But today it seems utter conformity, and they're like they're targeting, in fact, people that are anti-vaccine now, or anti-COVID vaccine at least, and they're saying, no, it's the greatest. If you dare to question these, you know, multi-billion-dollar corporations, you are the problem, right?
Yes, the left, in a way, has been turned completely on its head. The left used to be against militarism. Now it seems that they can't find a war they don't want to support. The left used to be for working people. Now, so long as you're white, you're basically trash. The left, as you say, used to be very skeptical of big business and whatever big business had in mind for us. And now, as you say, everybody's got to line up and take orders from these big vaccine manufacturers. No, the left has really moved in very, very strange ways. So Yes, it is surprising, but that's the way they've all lined up now. But I think more and more people are really turning their backs on that. For example, I don't know how much you've been following French politics, but the left has completely collapsed in France. They have a socialist party, they have a communist party, they have these various leftist parties, a green party. Together, they may be getting maybe 15%, 20% at most of the anticipated vote. I sense things moving that direction in this country as well. As I say, I'm optimist, but I've almost always been an optimist. I've always thought that the left was overplaying its hand, and now maybe I'm finally right.
So what do you think about Virginia? It's a conservative governor win, Glenn Youngkin there.
Well, I'm not sure how conservative he's going to be.
Yeah.
My wife was quite closely involved in Republican politics this time around. She met the governor several times, and she is not very impressed with just how solid he is. On the other hand, it's better than having a Democrat. And of course, this is an interesting bellwether in terms of what's going to happen in the midterm elections. And I've even seen surprising polls according to which Hispanics, who voted pretty much 65-35 for Biden over Trump last time around, if they are asked on a national scale, which would you have voted for now if we had a rematch between Biden and Trump? It's a 50-50 split. If these polls are realistic, that says something very interesting about the way the Hispanic vote is going to go. So I'm optimistic about the midterms. I think it's possible that both houses of Congress could end up in the Republicans' hands again.
There's been a number of things in Fairfax County alone this year that has been like on the forefront of the national debate. As you said, when it comes to CRT and other things, there's been, I think, some of the outrageous like sex ed type books and things like
the
that.
Pedophile
that
was, books, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Call it what it is. It's pedophile. It's promoting pedophilia, essentially. That's what it is. And I forget if that, a few, I don't, those I think was in Virginia at least. And but we've seen a massive movement, as you said earlier, of parents actually going out. They're now running for things. We've seen again a response, of course, by the left that, oh my God, they're getting out there, they're getting involved, and it, you know, on the local level, and we have to stop this. And in fact, they're terrorists, also, by the way, right? Mm-hmm. That's been the discussion.
Yes, yes. One of the things that really sunk Terry McAuliffe, who was the Democratic candidate for governor in Virginia, was his poo-pooing the idea that parents should have a right to have anything to say about how their children were educated. And he first said this, and everybody thought, well, okay, he's going to have a chance to take it back. And then when he was asked again, he says, no, that's what school boards are for. That's what boards of education. They're the ones who decide what your children have to learn. Well, people think, no, sir. And ordinary, perfectly conventional white people, they are finally getting their backs up when they find out that little Johnny in the fourth grade has got to stand up in front of the whole class and explain that because he's white and because he's a boy and was born a boy and because he's a boy, that means that he's some sort of inherent oppressor. No, sir. White people, in their heart of hearts, they don't like this diversity stuff any more than you or I do. And the really brilliant commentator Joe Sobern used to say, in their mating and migratory habits, liberals are indistinguishable from members of the Ku Klux Klan. When it comes to where they live, where they send their children to school, who they marry, who they socialized with, white people have an instinctive sense. And as the hippies used to say, they just need to get in touch with their feelings. If they would only do that and then start explicitly saying the kind of feelings they have instinctively, they'd all be on our side. But I see them moving in our direction.
Slowly.
Some of them coming around.
It's also, I think, in unison as that side just go off the deep end and it just gets more and more crazy and it just spirals out of control. And they do fight with each other. It's not a monolithic group in that sense. They do have a lot of infighting and divisions and stuff like that, which is, you know, ultimately good for us, obviously, you know, push on that. But yeah, a lot of people are just seeing that they're like, they agreed with the supposed, at least the how do you say it? The wording of some of the things. Like, well, we need to be fair and it needs to be equal, you know, all these things, right? But now you have like, you know, anyway, segregation is back, right? Of, but it's a different kind though, because white people can't have what we used to have. We can, we are the one group that can't have the things that all the other groups are asking for, right? But we've seen that type of, you know, at schools, for example, it needs to be segregated. Dorms by race. There's other, of course, internal groups that they have, student unions and so forth. They can have their own, but white can't have theirs. And in the wake of some of that just craziness, out of control craziness, you've seen a lot of people actually wake up to that. And I think that's probably part of the win for Youngkin in Virginia, that it was just going so nutty that a lot of people couldn't go along with it. Now, Youngkin, as you said, is not a obviously ideal option here, but it's a sign of something. It's a sign that they're willing to reject their previous ideology and masters, right?
Yes, yes. It's very, very important. And we mustn't forget that Virginia voted for Biden over Trump by something like a 10-point, 15-point margin. And so this was considered a huge setback for the Democrats. And we'll see what that portends for the midterms. And, you know, you even see liberal publications like the Washington Post saying, look, you Democrats, you can't be driven completely into the ditch by these lunatics like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders. You've got to start talking sense about the police, for example, defunding the police. Here we have this absolute crime wave, record numbers of murders. And the Democrats are talking about defunding the police. Now, even if they backtrack and say, well, that was just an idea, this is an idea that sticks. And anybody who even talks about abolishing police departments in the middle of a crime wave, those people are going to lose. Americans can be dim in so many ways, but that's one thing that they understand. In the middle of a crime wave, you don't abolish the police department. And so long as Democrats keep talking about that, it's going to be a huge gift to the Republicans.
That's true. They just don't know when to stop. They won't. I think I've talked with other guests about this too, but if they would have kind of cooled it a bit, like, you know, off the gas pedal a little bit, they could have had this thing potentially in the bag, even demographically. But I sense in a way that that awakening is also happening in unison with this, right? We have heard from a lot more mainstream conservatives this year alone using terms such as anti-white. They've talked about the replacement that's going on and things like that. Those are small you know, wins of sorts that we should recognize and say that's a good thing. It means the trajectory, the trend is going in that direction, Jared.
Oh, I think unquestionably. And bit by bit, some of the arguments that we've been making for years are trickling into the mainstream, not nearly as rapidly as we would wish, and not nearly as rapidly as would be the case if we still had you know, your wonderful YouTube channel and our Twitter accounts and all of those things. But we do what we can, and I think we are succeeding despite all of these built-in headwinds and all of these artificial obstacles that have been set in the way of ours, because we're right and they're wrong. And eventually, what the people who are right are going to come through. I'm entirely convinced of that. I've just been reading a book by Dominic Venner. It has just come out. It's called A Handbook for Dissidents. And he writes about, what it means to be a man or a woman of the West. And he writes about how we must always have in our minds an absolute conviction that we men and women of the West will wake up and reclaim our heritage. That is our guiding light, and it guides everything we do. I think it's an excellent book that has just been translated into English. It's sort of on sale in a minor way, but I'd like to put in a plug for it. I actually wrote a preface for it, but it's by Dominic Venner, the great Frenchman who ended up shooting himself in Notre Dame Cathedral over the crazy things that the West was doing. But he's a very thoughtful man, and this book, A Handbook for Dissidents, I think really speaks to our times in an eloquent way.
Was that, do you know, is it Arctos that released that? Or?
No, it's not Arctos. It's a private group. I can't remember its name now, but I think if you look it up on the internet, you'll find it.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned France earlier as well, and actually one thing that we haven't covered, Lana, it's Eric Zemmour. Zemmour?
Zemmour.
How that shift happened, right? Because we had Le Pen before, kind of being in that role, and this guy kind of showed up, as far as I know anyway, but not probably to French people and those who know very intricate, you know, involved in the political system there. But to me, kind of just kind of popped up on the radar. I think I've heard his name very, you know, here and there or something like that. But what can you just briefly tell us what happened there and how do you think that changed happened
certainly.
There?
Certainly. Zemmour has been a very controversial, but at the same time, very popular television commentator and author for several decades now. He is an Algerian Jew who came, whose parents came to France after the war in Algeria and the decolonization and the independence movement. But he is probably unique among major spokesman in Western Europe in saying, look, there is no difference between Islam and radical Islam. Islam of any kind is incompatible with French civilization. And if it takes an Algerian Jew to say that France should be for the French, I say, God bless him. Marine Le Pen has been trying to water down her arguments for years now. After she kicked her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, out of the party, who had founded it and who took a staunch position on all of these questions, she has been trying to appear more and more presidential, if you will. But by becoming presidential, she's losing some of her most ardent supporters. And when you get this guy, Eric Zemmour, who really is straightforward about the necessity to absolutely stop the Great Replacement, absolutely stop non-whites from coming into France, he's got this surge of support. There was an evening in which he debated opponents back to back, 10 of them, for about 3.5 hours. And there was a black woman who had had some minor role under a socialist government. And he said straightforwardly to her, you are the kind of people we don't need. Imagine a white or any other politician in a Western country actually saying to a black woman face to face, you are not the kind of people we need. You need to stay where you were born. I mean, she was reduced practically to tears. But this is the kind of talk that Europeans are going to have to make themselves capable of if they are going to save their civilizations.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are people who say, well, this is a Zemmour guy. He's a spoiler. He's going to try to make sure that Marine Le Pen doesn't get into the second round. And if he were ever actually elected, then he would be a turncoat and he would turn the place into sort of an Afro-Islamic hell. Absolutely not. Zemmour has been saying the same things for 20 years now, and he's finally really getting a worldwide audience for these extremely sensible views. I'm all for him. As I say, if it takes an Algerian Jew to save France, I'd vote for the Algerian Jew.
There you go. Yeah,
he's not pushing an Israel first message, though, is he?
I beg your pardon?
He's not pushing an Israel first message like Trump, though, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. He's very skeptical of, well, he likes Israel as an example of an ethno-state, so to speak. But he doesn't think that the foreign policy of France should be dictated by the interests of Israel. Mm. No, I think he's a very solid guy. Furthermore, unlike Marine Le Pen, who made it into the second round of the French elections the last time around and really got clobbered by Emmanuel Macron, who is a smart and a very clever arguer. Zemmour is not going to get clobbered if he's in the second round and has a debate with Emmanuel Macron, who is sure to make it into the second round. The only question now is who of the opposing candidates, and it's going to be somebody on the right, either Marine Le Pen or Eric Zemmour, or this lady called Valérie Pécresse, who represents what the party called the Republicans, who claim to have inherited the mantle of Charles de Gaulle. And Zemmour says, even to the Republicans, much less to the Marine Le Pen people, he says, look, if you are going to be loyal to Charles de Gaulle, you should follow me. Charles de Gaulle wasn't fooled by any of this multi-culti nonsense. Charles de Gaulle very famously said that France is a white, European, Christian country. And we want to keep it that way. So all of you people who are sort of the moderate right, you people have been led astray. And if you're really Gaullist, vote for me. He's a very hard-hitting guy. Now, whether he will make it in the second round, I don't know. Whether he could eventually be elected president. I think just the fact that he has taken the podium, said these sensible things, and gotten as far as he has is extremely encouraging.
Do you know when the second round that's next in the election process?
The way it works is they will have a whole bunch of candidates. The left has, as I say, an ecologist, a communist, a socialist, a this, a that, you name it, they've got it. None of them has much support at all. So all the candidates fight in the first round, and then the people who get the two people who get the top scores, then they get into the second round and fight it out. So the question is, Emmanuel Macron will for sure make it into the second round. Then the question is, who will be the number two? And that will be one of the three people I mentioned. That is to say, Marine Le Pen, Eric Zemmour, or Valérie Pécresse, who is the so-called Gaullist. Unless there's some sort of political earthquake in France, that is what is going to happen. So we'll see. But again, the fact that Zemmour has come politically right out of nowhere, he's got no political experience at all. He's been a journalist and a commentator all his life, and he only recently declared his candidacy. And the fact that he has got this surge of support behind him, I think, is very encouraging.
All right. Well, we'll see. France does need something, whatever it needs. It needs to get out of the situation that it is in, because, I mean, it's one of the worst countries in Europe and stuff like that. There's been mainstream movies now documenting, I forget the title, but one of them shows the situation in Marseille with all the immigrant gangs and so forth there, right? And it's I forget what the date is and the projection, but when, you know, eventually the French people will become a minority by presumably 2040, 2050, something like that.
It's a little bit later on for them.
Okay.
But that is precisely, I think you're talking about 2080 perhaps, but that is precisely what Zemmour is saying. This must not happen. France has got the largest percentage and largest number of Muslims of any Western European country. And again, it is crucial to say there is no distinction between Islam and radical Islam. Every bit of it is bad.
Yeah, it doesn't belong in our countries. That's the bottom line. Yeah, exactly. No, it's for us. We built it. Our forebears did, and that's what they had in mind. They didn't have the rest of the world in mind when they built these countries. Just like America, same story there. And we have these elites that are constantly trying to gaslight us into that, or change the historical framework and say, "Oh, we've always been this," and blah blah blah. But again, overall, generally, although it's a dire situation and it's very serious and it's heartbreaking to see it, I still see, I'm not saying that, oh, it's all a political solution or something like that, but as more and more people understand this reality, and as the media discredits themselves, as the elitists out there discredit themselves, and we see the obvious failure of the ideology and the implementation of this globalist plan that they have, I think more and more people will come to sanity and to rationality when it comes to these questions, Jared.
You know, even the readers of the New York Times and the Washington Post, if you look at their comments, if there is ever a story on race, and I know that both of those newspapers censor their comments, but for the most part, the comments are extremely sensible. They will have an article about, oh, we arrested these people who committed hate crimes against Asians. And then the Washington Post refuses to mention their race. Of course, they're all black. The commenters will say, come on, are we supposed to pretend that these were white people? Give us a break. A lot of people are waking up. Now, we do not have anything like a political voice yet. And I've always urged people to run at the local level, school board, county council, or even a state rep. There's a guy who's running for Congress in Arkansas named Neil Kumar. He's entirely on our side. I don't know whether he'll make it or not, but politics is an option if only to get the word out. And I think at some of these local levels, city council, mayor, school board, I think people who take our positions can actually win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dave Riley came real close in Post Falls, and there was a big campaign against him nationally to not get him in. He lost by 134 votes. That's it. Yep. And even that is questionable. You know?
Yes. So. There you go. I mean, I think the time is now. These things are possible.
Yeah. So any predictions for next year? Is it going to be more of the same, or what do you think is going to unfold? Should we be more prepared for something?
Well, as Mark Twain used to say, predictions are very tricky, especially when you're talking about the future. So I prefer not to make them, but I think that the current trends will continue. I think as far as COVID is concerned, Americans are just going to get sick of trying to shut down their lives in the face of a disease that certainly isn't killing nearly as many people as we thought might be possible. I think that is gradually going to be relieved, whether through a lot of people getting vaccinated and thinking they're safe, or whether this thing mutating into something that may be more contagious but is less deadly, something like just an ordinary cold that we'll just live with as if it is sort of a minor flu. I think that's going to be less and less of a concern as time goes on. I think also the loony lefties, they can never learn. And to the extent that they are backed up by the media, who are equally loony, they are going to continue to say such crazy things that they're going to continue to drive more and more people into our arms. I predict that there's going to be organizing in a small, quiet, community-building way all around the country increasingly. I see signs of that in lots of areas. And so I think our momentum is going to continue to build.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's you know, it's up to us to be there. I've said that before. I mean, in a way, our enemies are doing the work for us. Again, if we were on the mainstream platforms, yeah, we would have, you know, been out there, and it's easier to kind of soak up that segment of the population that are asking these questions. I'm going to try to find answers, but you know, even so, that's not stopping anybody. This is just a temporary reshuffling, right? As the big platforms, they turn into, yes, you know, mainstream corporate news, essentially. Then people will go to where the answers are and stuff like that. So I'm, you know, again, to reemphasize that point, very positive, and we have to be positive. Mm-hmm. If we're not positive, then why would the people who seeks to come to us would be positive? They would be depressed and downtrodden and think, oh, this is, it's over, we can't do anything. It's like there's so many different variables, so many different things that can and presumably will happen along the way here that we can't even imagine right now.
That's
right. When the right people come to our side, when the right resources are there, when there's people of you know, that have capabilities, they have resources, they have, of course, you know, the monetary aspect, that's part of this as well. But when they smart people, capable people understand what's happening, then I think a lot of positive things will come out of that, Jared.
Oh yeah,
there's no question about it. My job, as I've considered it for the past 30 years, for heaven's sake, has simply been to try to get more people to see the world the way we do. And I think we are definitely succeeding. And as more people begin to agree with us, things will fall in place, as you are suggesting, in ways we can't even necessarily anticipate. People with resources, people perhaps in position of power, people who are in a position to influence the people in power. All of this is going to fall into place the more there are people out there who see things the way we do and are willing to take a stand. Now, of course, optimism does not by any means mean complacency. You all have been doing wonderful work for years. There are many people out there who've been doing wonderful work, and I don't see anybody dropping out. More people are coming in. The people who've been doing it are doing it harder than ever. I think the momentum continues to build.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I've got a request for here, Jared, from Mrs. Noseberg. Please ask Jared it's to silly. Say, have a merry Hawaii Christmas. Can you request with that?
Well, sometimes people ask me to quote from Moby Dick. Hast seen the white whale?
A white whale.
Nice. Yeah. Yes. Ultima Power says, "Base Jared Taylor, Merry Christmas and Happy Yule." Yeah, thank you. That's right.
Yeah, definitely Merry Christmas.
Yep.
Happy Yule.
So it's good
Jared.
To see you,
always
Jared.
Always good.
Always a pleasure. Always encouraging with your positive energy and you know, vigor and continuous dedication to this most important of missions that we have laid out before us. It's always a pleasure, sir. Anything else you'd like to leave us with here? Of course, as usual, plug the website, please. Let people know where they can go to find your videos, find
your
the articles,
Telegram
and all that
now
stuff.
Too, because I just joined your Telegram channel.
Yes. We're everything is at amren.com, amren.com, and has been for a long time. And as I say, our traffic increases despite the fact that Google, for example, if you type in a long copied text from one of our articles, Google pretends that we don't even exist. DuckDuckGo, of course, will take you to us right away. But people are finding us nevertheless. But Yes, it's always a pleasure to be on with the two of you. And again, I salute the wonderful work that y'all have been doing for years. I wish you every success in the year to come and in the decades to come.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yes. And I'm going to have to persuade you definitely to come and cover the next AMRAN conference, which will be next fall. So be there or be square.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jared. And please continue your wonderful and very important work as well. We do appreciate you. And thank you so much again for coming on kind of last minute with us here. I'm glad you saw the email so we could get you on here as we wrap up today's stream. But thank you so much, Jared. We'll stay in touch.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you soon. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Good you. All right. There we go. Jared Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, guys. We're going to wrap up here shortly in a little bit. But AMRAN.com, of course, that is the website. We can find more of Jared's work. Let me do a couple of these super chats here. Thank you, guys. Do appreciate it. We got a sub from Sasori Ubina Meal. Thank you for that. We'll set that up after the show. Appreciate that. Right About Everything says, happy you, fellow pagans. Mm-hmm. Moving out of a city is undoubtedly one of the best decisions I've ever made. Growing food, Taking care of animals, helpful neighbors. I've seen two black people here in 6 months. Might have been the same guy. And he looked lost. Hopefully the Idaho market cools down. The future really is the past.
Funny story here. Yeah. There's one black guy in northern Idaho, and he reached out, and he's actually a Red Eyes fan.
Nice. That's based. There you go.
Still have to have coffee. But
that's right. Awesome. let me see here. So I got that right. What is it again? Horace Cock Johnson. That's right. That is the name. Much love from the most free state in America. Only 2 years ago, we were considered the laughingstock of America. How things have changed. They sure have, haven't they? I suspect there's a lot of things like that to come as well. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. Black Phillip says, I'm kind of doing these in reverse right now. I think that's where we left off. Black Phillip says, good news. I'm still recovering from pneumonia in the hospital, but feel so much better as my natural immunity takes over. That's good news. Black Phillip told us Wednesday that he had been diagnosed with the coof, as it were. Mm. Never fun. I'll have a great 2022 with natural antibodies, at least. They gave me a lot of shit for being unvaccinated. But I won't be guilted into it even while infected. Happy Yuletide. Well, normally, your immune system is where you handle it. You didn't hand it over to a subscription company.
No,
right?
And getting sick it always sucks. Like, no one ever said being sick was fun and easy.
Yeah.
I notice they do that all the time when people end up in the hospital. I've heard this from several people now. Some bitchy nurse will be like, do you wish you got vaccinated now? Are you going to get vaccinated now? It's like,
nope. It wouldn't have protected you. It wouldn't have kept you out of there.
So insensitive. What a healer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then as we know, there's a whole slew of side effects that come with this thing, and it's
through the sickness and beef up your immune system.
Do not do it. Do not fold. And I've seen some people. I mean, it's random here and there, but like some people, if the scaremonger, and that's even people that are like in the sphere of knowing about media and manipulation, they eventually cave. If the pressure is high enough, if they turn up the temperature enough. That's why I've said that. Like, if we actually at some point begin to see dead bodies in the street, and who knows if that's like attributed then to the rollout of the vax or to something else or to a mutation or whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? There will be a lot of people that fold on that. And my point is just hold the line. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
Hold the line. This is going to be it at some point, barring that they roll something else out. We're gonna get a grip on the situation in some capacity. One way or another, we're gonna get a grip on the situation.
You just said war. In one war.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Freudian Jungian slip. How about that?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But yeah, that's we have one more here from Albert and Herbert. It's funny because I was looking at this a classic. What we call a Yule calendar, right? That's the show they used to run on Swedish public television for the kids. It's each day in December all the way up to Christmas Eve. Classic one out of Gothenburg called Albert and Herbert. My mom actually sent me a link to the online source that the Swedish television has for that the other day. I was like, I need to play some of those. I remember watching that. Anyway, so the username here, Albert and Herbert, says, God jul, Henrik and Lana. När kommer du till Göteborg? Jag vet inte. Det beror på när vaccinskiten avtar.
Right.
I don't know when I'm coming to Gothenburg. I hope I could be able to travel soon, but I'm not going to comply on any of these domestic
in Sweden,
rules right now.
In Sweden, you can get in, I think, without the vaccine, right? Visiting Sweden, but it's about flying into Europe. Where do you fly into, and who's going to ask you there? I'm like, a lot of times people go through Amsterdam, for instance, or they're going to ask you, have you been vaccinated, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just kind of waiting it out. I do understand that, you know, it might just get worse and worse as we go. But also, as it gets worse and worse, you have more pushback. Look at what's happening in Germany now. Major protests around. We'll cover that Wednesday. And then we have, you know, Romania, there's protest. Austria, there's protest. UK, there's continued protest. It's everywhere, right? So this is catching on. It's a great momentum here right now of just a freedom movement, ultimately. And there's a lot of other things weaved into that discussion and debate again. Debate. Because the same people that are doing the COVID stuff to us have been doing the replacing as well to us, right? So I think if we can get a majority of our people to turn against the regimes that have done this to us and throw off these shackles, we're in a much better position. And I think there's a great awakening kind of in the wake of that movement as well. So, you know, that's good. I think that's good. So we'll see, Albert and Herbert. I'll try. Förhoppningsvis kan jag vara tillbaka I Göteborg inom ett par år, två år, tre år, kanske.
It's hard to know at this point.
Yep. Okay.
Unpredictable times, but we can thrive in that too.
Of course.
We just have to learn to ride the waves and be prepared to see what's ahead.
That's right. Well, we appreciate you guys. Thank you for the support this year. We do thank you, everybody. Whether you're just watching, sharing our links, whether you're a member, whether you're super chatting and these kinds of things as well. Let me check on Odyssey. I don't want to miss anybody there. Mr. Wright just sent a big donor there. Thank you, Mr. Wright. He says, yes, made it. Good you, got folk. Thank you, Mr. Wright. You have to watch the restream. We're going to ready to wrap up here soon. Let me check if I missed any others on Odyssey. But anything else, Lana? Other closing thoughts?
Thank everyone for all their support this year. I mean, every little thing helps, you know. They've tried to sabotage us in all these ways, and Jared, too, and all these other people, and we're still here. You know, I love that. I love that. We're a thorn in their side, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, look at the state of things. Despite all the pushback, despite all the censorship, and despite all the, trying to put obstacles in front of not only us, but so many, individuals and groups and people like us and stuff like that talk about these very important real aspects that we're faced with. They, for the most part, they can't stop these people. And again, it's by the grace of you guys out there, all our supporters, all our wonderful people out there. And as I said, hopefully we do have some higher spirits with us as well.
Oh, for sure.
They're looking out, not only for us, but for you guys as well, of course. That's what I believe. All right, let me take a couple of these on Odyssey here, and then we'll wrap up, guys. Pro420 says, sorry, my girlfriend is retarded, and I'm the boyfriend. No homo here. Maybe you sent a previous one, too, by the way. My boyfriend and I love you guys. Merry Christmas. Well, there you go. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate that. Very kind of you. Thank you for the dono. Cranky Cracker sends a very fascinating icon there of, I think it's the Mount Rushmore, all replaced by walk women. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Tipsy McStagger says, Merry Christmas and Happy Yuletide. Pure Bloods, thank you. Did we do that one? I don't think we did that
take
one.
Take a bunch of white men to make that walk happen there in Mount Rushmore there.
That's yeah, exactly. Right. Here's a Christmas card from, let me see here. It is from Mike Forster as well, sharing around my annual Christmas card. Good Yule and Frohe Weihnachten. There you go. Thank you.
I like it. That's nice. We've received a lot of cards and pictures from friends with their babies, and so we have several of those on the fridge now. I think we need to take like some cheesy family Christmas photo.
I
want to
do the, like you actually do the, like the 80s style, kind of, you know, like the...
Get a Camaro and stuff.
Well, I mean, not a Camaro, but you know, the marble background and maybe...
Oh, like one of those.
You know what I mean? Like the but you could put like the Christmas sweaters on and, you know, stuff like that, right? Birdman says, Happy Yule and stay cool. Will do, for sure. It's actually warm in the studio, but nice and cold outside. Chris Rowe says, nice dog regarding the Norwegian, what was it called again?
The Elkhound.
Elkhound, yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I like it, too.
Cool. Malk Dome says, Happy Yule. Same to you. Thank you. Let me see here. I think this is, no, let me take these as well. These are from today, I think. Chad Robert Love says, don't forget, if we didn't have mass migration, COVID might have been COVID might never have been a problem. Yeah, I mean, at least their excuse is that, while it came from China, that's what they're telling us. If they would have stopped everything at the border right there, that wouldn't have been a problem.
Or not until way later, kind of closing the borders.
Yeah, exactly, kind of. But oh no, we couldn't do that. But we can shut down internally in a country. We can shut everything down. We can kill everything and all the economy and everything. That's not a problem. Green says, have you checked the new Bond movie, No Time to Die? It is It is alluded in the movie that a bioweapon can target people based on their race. Yes, and wasn't this something with, well, it was like some nanites or nanobots or something. I did hear something about it in passing, but yes, and it was, I'm conflating the two, but it was, I was rewatching the Kingsman the other day, and I think it's a 2014 version, but there's like a new one out even this year or like around this time. But it's like this fascinating, like, they're showing basically like implantable chips in humans. It's like given a free cell phone and internet to all people, and they have like a microchip in them, the people that are getting the service. And then they end up depopulating with the help of that. And why? Well, in the movie, they said the supervillain there is just doing it to help the planet, because they do the analogy of like basically, you know how we talked about the COVID / climate change, how one thing will kind of go over into the other. Mm-hmm. Well, in Kingsman, they kind of frame it as like, well, you see, the reason why the Earth is warming is the same way that we get a fever when we get a virus, right? You get warmer to purge the disease. So the Earth is our body, and the humans are the virus. So basically, we have to stop global warming. We have to take care of the virus, which is, you know, what they say on there. But anyway, interesting.
Yeah, and leftists do symbolism say that. Like, we've read articles where they're like, yeah, basically a bunch of people need to die to save the planet.
That's what they're saying now. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, no, I'll check out their latest Bond movie too. That's interesting. Merry Christmas to all from Trucker Chris. Thank you. Let me see. Grace, I think it is. Grace Michael, 546 says, hey, Landrick. Hail the gods. Happy Woden's Day. I think that's from Wednesday then, so we're caught up. Thank you. I do appreciate that because I might have missed that Wednesday. And then finally, two more here from, first one from Northfolk says, good Yule and Merry Christmas. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for the donation as well. Very kind of you. And Virginian Drifter says, thanks for being the rational voice in a sea of liars during 2021. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for the challenge that awaits us in the next year. It's true. We should look forward to it, and we will do it. With honor and grace. All right. Thank you, guys.
I've already got 4 interviews booked for January.
That's great.
I'm getting back on that train. I feel like there was a little lull for a while.
Yeah.
Things were kind of different in our scene. People were kind of splintering off into different areas, especially actually when COVID happened. It was very divided too, remember, in the vaccine and the lockdowns and people that thought it was good. And then, you know, things have changed. Some people have kind of gone their own way, done their own things. But I see that there's some good things budding out there again. So getting back on the interview train for sure, because I know a lot of people have been asking.
I've been sloppy, but John Lash is a guest I want to have back. I need to book him in. There's a couple of other ones, some good books out there released. You know, people are still working, releasing good philosophy, good political ideology, things like this, right? So we're going to cover some of that. But all right, boys and girls, thank you so much for this year. We do appreciate you. We don't know how many days we'll take off. Or we'll take a few days off. We'll be back here soon, of course, with you guys. We might do something in between before the new year, but we'll see. But if you want to check out our archives, check out redeyesmembers.com. Great way of supporting us as usual. Subscribeshow.com/redeyes. You can join us over there or an Entropy stream. We also have a Cash App option. We have an e-check option. We have crypto options and, of course, a snail mail option as well. But yeah, thank you, everybody. Merry Christmas, good Yule, and we'll see you guys soon.
That's right. Have a great weekend.
Hold the line. We'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Do you love Red Eyes? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Eyes membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Eyes. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.